Blog Talk Radio.
On his way to Bolton, big left-handed West Indian captain waits, tapping away at the crease. Walker is on the way, and Lloyd off the back foot crashes it through the covers. That's four more runs. Beautiful shot by Lloyd. Full of confidence. Glowing back foot shot. Off the meet the bat and racing.
Just a good evening to all of you in Radio Land.
No chance of getting it.
This is you're listening to the cricket show.
By the name of Chiwa.
With me on
China.
The liner is Dennis,
he said he heard so much about cricket, but he wants someone to explain it. So we start listening to the commentary. He hear the ball swinging. He started asking about Adam. He want to apply for the job as the night watchman.
Welcome to the Cricket Show. To call in, 151-560-59850. 151-560-59850. We are on each and every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our host is Leon Francis.
And with me tonight is Dennis Seed. Good evening to you, Dennis. And how are you, my brother?
Good evening to you, Leon. I'm here in Southern California, parts of it, I should say, my part, where the temperature is a cool 70 degrees and it's quite overcast. But nonetheless, it's a very pleasant afternoon here where I am.
To me, it's most similar. It's hot and the breeze, some good breeze are coming from all over, and I'm happy to see the sunshine is up and we're having some good weather. But, you know, we usually do this, Dennis, each and every Sunday or every show that we start. Just give God thanks for his giving us the opportunity to be with the show. So I'm going to do just that, and then we'll come right into the meat of things. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your giving us this opportunity to make yet another show. Thank you for all the wonderful people who have made it possible for us to have this show. And we ask your kind help and continued assistance with our brothers and sisters who are not to their normal selves, namely my dear wife Eunice, my brother Eugene, my other brother Duane, and other brother Telbert, Dr. Leroy Lashley, Ruby Locke, Marie, Gorbel Francis, my sister, Wentworth Francis, my brother, and Murchis Nisbet, Ralston Otto, El Comito Willett, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, Connie Whitley, Dennis Kelman, Iselma Cornelius, Elimat, Willis Daniels, Mona Daniels, Fillmore Hallpike, Rossworth Bird, family of his, and all the others who have not expressed their concerns. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you may just help them to be back to the normal and trust that they will be able to participate to do the work that you have put them here to do. And thank you for all this time that you have given us over the last 10 years, and we trust that you'll just make it continue for a long, long time. We're grateful for all the help that we can get and trust that you may bless the show, make it go on and understandable to all who listen to it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So, Dennis, as you were saying, you have some good weather, and we do have some pleasant weather here as well. And we have some folks. We just want to thank the folks who have joined us. I think this is Ivor, he's on, and Murchis are also on, and, of course, some others are hopeful to be coming in. Well, this evening we may not have a guest or guests. Let me just announce this, because this is confirmed that the president of the West Indies Cricket Board, Mr. Ricky Skerritt, has promised to be with us next Sunday from 7 to 7.45, God's willing, if nothing comes up. But I had a chat with him yesterday, and he was kind of happy that he's able to come on after a long period of campaigning and preparing for the annual general meeting for the West Indies Cricket Board. And we are so happy that he's going to be coming on, and, of course, to follow up with Dr. Shallow. So, okay, without no further ado, let me just go on with the outline. We're waiting to hear from Audley, who will be having a inside edge. He hasn't called me or nothing, so I suspect he'll be on shortly. So we will indeed make that happen. Well, the IPL is in full swing, and what we have is that match that was played today, DC. There are two matches were played today, but we just want to cover the DC and the Sunrisers Hyderabad, and that was the first match that was ever. First match that went to the Super Over. And we have a little bit of rumbling back there. But nevertheless, I'll give you standings, but we do know that I'll give you the standing in a while. Let's go over to the match between Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. That went to a draw. Imagine Sri Lanka replying to Bangladesh 541-7. They were 648-8. They were playing to break Lara's record, I guess, because no one seems to want to declare and give the other team a challenge. So, Bangladesh did declare 541, but Sri Lanka did not try to make a match of it. They tried to bat and give their batsmen another challenge. So, let's see. The other match will commence on the 29th of April, and that will go until May the 3rd. So, first match ended in a draw, team draw, and as the reporters say, a boring draw. Right? We love cricket. T20 might be the format that will be the potential Olympic entry when it comes around some years from now, 2022 or 28 it is. The format that has been approved is that of the 20 for the Olympic is T20. We do have the final figures as to the contracts for the various grades in India. Grade A plus contract will earn each recipient a sum of 933,800 K per person. In other words, Virat Kohli, Roy Sharma, and fast bowler Jasprit Bumrah, they will all get $933,000 per
$933,800 K.
Okay, I interpreted it as $933,000. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So the grade A is quoted as 667K. I believe that is $1,000. Couldn't be 100.
600. Yeah, no, it's
600. And then the grade C will get 400,000. And then the grade B will get 400,000, and the grade C will get $133,400 each. So, just to clarify what we didn't have the information for yesterday. New Zealand, of course, will be touring England, and the tour will be starting on May the 25th. So they're actually in England already, and that tour will go until till June the 14th, they'll play two test matches. The first one beginning on May the 25th. And then the next one, a little bit of noise at the background. So please, if you go into some papers, it will interfere with us at this point. So it's very sensitive. And then the next one starts in June and the following one on the 10th. And the ICC World Cup will be, of course, the only test match between 18th June to the 22nd of June, and that will be playing at the Rose Bowl. You'll tell me more about that. Because you lived in England, Mr. Dennis. Pakistan, tour of Zimbabwe. And Pakistan had a 2-1 lead and won that T20 series. And they were defeated in the second T20 by Zimbabwe by 19 runs. That was a tight one, and it was a bad loss and a good win for the Zimbabweans, a bad loss for Pakistan. And they have two test matches to play. The first one will start on the 29th of April, and the next one starts on May the 7th. May the better team win. And news coming out of South Africa that they have a week, maybe now, not a week now, because this news came out yesterday, so it should be less than a week to avoid their team being kicked out of the World Cup or World Cricket. In other words, any representative team that comes out of South Africa would not be the official team, according to what I'm hearing here. And the ICC is saying, you guys have to get your house in order, or else we put you where you belong. Ashwin, he's going to be taking a break from the IPL for family reasons, and COVID, you know, is rampant in England, India, and many of the players are concerned about their family. So Ashwin is pulling out and will be going back to be with his family. County Championship news that got some scores. Hampshire versus Gloucestershire. Hampshire 470, Gloucestershire 320 and 197.9. Gloucester is being represented by Craig Bradford, and he had a good 60 in the first innings and 21 in the second innings. Durham versus Derbyshire, 475 and 175.2. Declared Durham, Derbyshire 267 and 284.5. Warwickshire versus Essex. Essex 295 and 244. Warwickshire 284 and 256.43. Warwickshire winning that match by some 7 wickets. Kent versus Lancashire. And Lancashire, they made 525 and Kent 189 and 351. They follow on. And Lancashire winning that encounter by some 5 runs. Wow. Okay, so we know that Cummins, he represents Kent, and all I heard that he had a good knock of 19. And the other match that we are following is one over in Worcestershire. Worcestershire is playing against Nottinghamshire. Of course, the Worcestershire made 436, and Notts, they were 276 and 236 without loss. So in the first innings, Alzavi Joseph make a good knock of 6-1, and he had 2 wickets. And in the second, I did not pull up his scores, but I know he didn't get any wickets because no wickets fell for Notts in the second innings. So the match ended in a draw. So we do have, that's all we have. And just to tell you that Johnny Graves, he's confident that South Africa will tour the West Indies. With all those turmoil, I doubt this will happen. But as the CEO, he is very confident. So before any further ado, let's welcome Audley. Audley, I did send your invitation. I didn't know if you got it, so that we can use our invite on the dashboard. So good afternoon
I must say I did not. I did not check it. So
okay.
I did not pull it up then. Mm. Okay, good evening to you, Mr. Francis. Good evening to Mr. Dennis and all of my fellow panelists and for the people throughout the world. It's good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you. Yes, welcome to another Sunday evening program. I'm happy to be here and stay with us because we'll be having a very interesting program as usual. Marubishi is doing just fine.
And for Mr. Dennis, you may be wondering, who is Ma Ruby? Ma Ruby is the mother of Audley Watson, and we always like to hail her up because she is a very nice person. Much nicer than her son. Know how much nice she is. Dennis. Okay, so before you come in, okay. Dennis, you had something you wanted to add before, and just let, before we asked Audley to do the, just give us the outline of what, you said you had an article, before we bring in Audley with his inside edge.
Yes, and Audley might be very much interested to hear this. This is an item I read through Emerging Cricket. It's a minor league cricket. It's a pathway for whom? And this is an opinion piece where the crux of the article is that minor league first-class international cricketers are being signed, given contract with major league cricket. And, of course, these players will compete in minor league here in the States. And after 3 years resident in the U.S., these players appear to be eligible for USA Cricket Men's Senior International Team. So the crux here is whether or not this type of contract will in any way, shape and form affect the abilities of homegrown USA cricket players, born cricket players and, you know, nationals to really participate at the international level, part of the USA team. So that's a quick outline. There's a lot more to it that I can fill in as we go along. But if you want more information, we can do it now. Otherwise, I'm...
With it a little later so we can get more into the gist of it. So we'll have Audley bring in his inside edge. Audley, why don't you tell us what's...
Okay, the
go for us.
Edge for today. Okay, so the inside edge for today, we have three guys here. I guess you will agree with me that they are all West Indians: John Goddard from Barbados, Courtney Walsh from Jamaica, and Carl Hooper from Guyana. They all share that in common. They share something else in common. They all captained the West Indies Test team. Yep, Goddard, Walsh, and Hooper. But one thing perhaps, I don't know if you were aware that all three men captained the West Indies Test side for 22 Test matches each.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. That's why I call it the inside edge. 22 Test matches each. All three.
22
them.
Test matches. Awesome.
Back
from the
there.
Outline, I... Why don't you, Dennis, why don't we go over that article until 6:30 when we will go into the Walter Henry, birthday hour and anniversary time, so take us up at 7. So go right on. Dennis seemed to be blocked. Okay, he must have had his mic on. Dennis, you're on. Okay. Okay, Audley, why don't you... You have heard the outline, most of it. Would you like to open a bat in with on any of these topics?
You were, when I joined, you were talking about the contracts with the Indian players.
Mm-hmm.
And, the K indicate, of course, as it's 1,000. Dennis was saying if it's a 900, but the K follows, so they're all in the 1,000. But, and, of course, it's the world's richest T20 league, so they don't deal with just either 100, they deal with thousands. And one interesting thing is that Cooley, for all the praises and all the highlights and stuff that he's been getting, Cooley as a captain is the only Indian captain that has never scored a century in an entire calendar year. I know we were bothered somewhat by COVID, but then there were opportunities when I play, you know, we are, but in no format of the game, the cool. And it's the only Indian captain that has happened too. So for all the praises and so forth, you know, We know that he's a prolific guy, but when it comes to batting and support, especially ODI, but even that, he's sort of fading right now. And there's no question that Barbara's is really the premier batsman right now in all categories of the game, in all the three formats. We could almost say four because now the T10 is so popular now. But in the three that he played in, Barbara's is really the man. And we have often discussed here that they're always talking about the big four? Root, Williamson, Coley, and Steve Smith, and you never hear them mention about Barbara Zam, but he's smashing all the records, all those the ODI records that were set by Coley. He's just demolishing all those records, just like how Coley crush all the records that were set before him. So you gotta call Barbara Zam up there in the top five right now.
We seem to have lost Dennis, but no, Coley having not been able to score a century. But they seem to be he's such a quality player. He didn't need to make a century now, oddly. They're still rating him as the best. But you want to see your top gun score big runs for you, right?
Yeah, of course. For a guy of such stature, of course, you're, and that is something they have become accustomed to. The Indians, and of course, we all of us his fans, because you could look, and when you look at what Barbara Zam is doing, Williamson, and Root more recently when he played against India, and when you look at those guys, they're producing and making hundreds after hundreds after hundreds. And the man that was number one for how many years, number one as an ODI batsman, he has just fallen off the boil. As a matter of fact, you have a lot of guys that, just passing by. So he will have to do something to refine his game. And somebody was suggesting, and of course, I don't think they look into that seriously, but who knows, that he could watch Barbara Zam and he could refine some of his shows. I don't know if they'll take that seriously.
Mm-hmm. Leon, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Now we're hearing you.
Now we hear you. Did you put on your mute on us? I tell you.
No, not deliberately. I think the system is muted to me, so it's possible my finger hit things it shouldn't hit.
Yeah, well, Audley was saying that Coley is the only Indian captain who has never not scored a century in a calendar year, or is it for his entire as a captain?
No,
Audley, did you?
No. For one, just a calendar year. Oh, yes, scored
for
many
calendar
centuries
year,
as only. Captain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but do you hold that against him, Dennis?
No, not at all, because his reputation goes in front. He's shown that he's capable and he has the quality, he has the temperament, and he certainly has the ability to the important thing is that he's producing, centuries or not, he's producing. So I think he deserves what he's getting.
He's India Golden Boy. India Golden Boy.
My question to Audley, were we speaking of U.S. dollars? The dollars
is...
Yes, it's US dollars. They converted to US dollars.
Yeah, because last week we talked about the India dollar in crores.
India crores, right.
Yeah, and we didn't know the exact equivalent. So Jayton sent that to me early this week. So I said I'll save it just to tell the panelists because I didn't look it up. You probably can look up the equivalent on the internet.
So this payment is for the series, the...
No, as a contracted
contract
player.
Contract for the year.
For the year. Oh, it's like a salary for the year. Okay, I'm with you.
You know what they get for playing in it every time they represent India in a test match.
International matches.
Just like the West Indies contract, I think the max is about 100, 150,000 and all the... they are in US dollars. They are quoted in US dollars. So
this
we just
is a
wanted
yearly
to, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a yearly salary,
yes.
not a per match
yes.
salary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And each year it's been revised. So, you know, some players will get demoted, others will be elevated, you know, and some will drop out completely. So it's gonna depend on their performance over the year in the different series that they have played, Randy Trophy, when they represent India and so forth. So they will be assessed, and each year a contract is given. So some will miss out on a contract while others are elevated. Some may get promoted from C to B or from B to A and so forth, and that's how they do it yearly.
Okay.
So Australia did the same thing. Australia did the same thing, and you would never believe that Matthew Wade, many times the instigator, the one that really do the sledges and so forth, he missed out on a contract. Matthew Wade missed out on a contract. Yeah, he's not in the city. And they cut back because they can, usually contract is like between 20 and I think 16 or 17 players. And with what's going on with COVID now, they cut back, I think, to the 16 to the bone. And a few of the guys, I think Travis Head, former vice captain or something, one of the former, he missed out on a contract as well.
So, question. Oddly, the contract is given by the national board.
Yeah, Cricket Australia or Cricket West Indies they contract the players, and they contract the players from the board that does that.
And how does that fit in with the contract that they signed for, say, the IPL or?
No, domestic contract is different. That's totally different.
So,
that's their money they work when they are not assigned to play cricket for the country, and they have to get an NOC from whatever body they are from, whether it's Cricket Australia, South Africa or whatever. That money is a different money. When it comes to the West Indies, I don't know if this goes for all the different countries, but the West Indies Cricket Board or Cricket West Indies were getting a percentage of those contracts
yes.
at the time. I don't remember. Leon could remember if it's 10%, 5% or what.
They still get a portion of it. And that's one of the questions I had from Mr. Shallow last week, but we didn't have the time to know how that money is shared, because whatever they get from India for the players that are being drafted in IPL, it has to be shared with the clubs that they represent in their local. Say, for instance, you represent Melbourne in Jamaica. West Indies Cricket Board would have to give part of what was given to them from India to Melbourne. And then Melbourne returned, obviously, I don't think they'll turn anything over back to the player again because he has already been paid. But we want to welcome Virgil. Virgil, early. Get you early out of your sleeping mode. You know, at 6:30 now, we do have the Walter Henry birthday hour, so that's why we bring you in. Good evening to you. You have Audley and Dennis, and you got people listening and some other folks listening. So why don't you come on in and say hello to them? Virgil once, Virgil twice. Okay, Audley. Let's go then. We are going to be entering the Walter Henry birthday hour and the anniversary celebration.
Okay, welcome ladies and gentlemen to the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's a time of the evening and we take a look at the cricketing fraternity and we say happy birthday. And for you, it's when you can call in. It's 515-605-9850. Say happy birthday, happy anniversary, get well, or just give us a call. And yep, it's the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. And as we go along, of course, at occasional footnotes as we go along. Okay, today is the 25th of April, 2021, of course. And let's start with some birthdays. Athlete Omar McLeod out of Jamaica. He celebrated his birthday. He's 27 years old today. Yeah, he represents Jamaica. He won the gold medal in 110 meters hurdles in, I think, Olympics and in World Cup. So, and he's also a guy that runs sub 10 in 100 meters flat. So he's a good athlete. Omar McLeod, he's 27 years old today. And Leon's grandson, I don't know how old he is, Akeem Morris. Akeem Morris, he'll be he's celebrating today. He's 2-2 today. Yeah, yes, double indeed. 2 today. Akeem Morris, Leon's grandson. Yeah, 22 years old today. And I can, Mr. Francis, take that hat off your head, dear. It's gonna burst. I know you're very proud of him. Proud of the young man.
I'm wearing an Indian cap.
Okay. All right. So I know you'll come back and deal that. I don't know if we're gonna have a connection. Right. So we move on. Fred Price from England, along with Mike Salvi. Mike Salvi is 73 years old today. Monty Panesar, 9 years old. Joe Chamberlain is 52 years old. And BJ Fry is gone a long time. Was born way 1812. Martin from New Zealand is 41 years old today. Milan Pascal from Grenada, 39 years old today. Roy Marshall from Barbados, way back in the 1900s. Gerd Kotzier from South Africa, 68 years old today. James Siddons from Australia, 57 years old. Sanjira Rangatunga from Sri Lanka, 52 years old. Glenn Burkitt Johnson, 52 years old, also from Zimbabwe. John Naglenda from East Africa, 81 years old. And Kim Garth, 52 years old, from Ireland. For tomorrow, we have singer Taros Riley. She's royal, so royal. He'll be 42 tomorrow. Former First Lady Melania Trump will be 51 years old. And our friend and colleague Vinod Manson, he'll be celebrating tomorrow. I don't know how old, but he's young enough. So Vinod Manson, happy birthday to you. He'll be celebrating tomorrow, the 26th. Mark, also baseball player Aaron Judge, you're talking about the Giants here, 6'6". Aaron Judge, he'll be 29 years old tomorrow. And another Giant, Tim Duncan, he's 6'11". Yes, he will be 46 tomorrow. And the thing about him, he played 19 seasons for the Spurs. And every year they went to the playoff. Every year in 19 years of representation, they've been to the playoff. That's a good record. All right, Marty Bell, 51 years old, from England. Lenny Davis, also from England, 36 years old. Bibi Anderson from South Africa, 47. Dick Howard from New Zealand. Jody Bennett from Australia. He's 50 years old tomorrow. Charles Calloway. Peter Hanscom will be 30 years old tomorrow. And Miriam Butt from Pakistan, 36. Anne-Marie MacDonald from Ireland, 58. V.K. Ramaswamy from India, 76 years old. For the 27th, Ivor's son, Vaughn, will be celebrating his birthday. Ivor's son, Vaughn, happy birthday to you. And Cardinal's sister, Ella, will also be celebrating her birthday on the 27th. All right, so happy birthday to you guys. Then we have Jeremy Sharp from England and Bill Comston, too from England, and June Embry, female cricketer, also out of England. Peter McIntyre, John McLean from Australia, Hamish Rutherford from New Zealand, 32 years old, Imran Khan from South Africa, 37 years old, Khalid Wazir, born back in 1936, will be celebrating also. And we have Regan West from Ireland, celebrating a birthday also. And it's the anniversary of that ball, the fastest ball ever recorded in the history of cricket, when Shoaib Akhtar clocked 100.40 miles an hour in an ODI versus New Zealand to Craig McMillan. So it happened in 2002. So we're talking about some 19 years ago. Shoaib Akhtar, yes, from Pakistan. 28, we have Singh out of Jamaica, General Degree, celebrating also. And the Australian men won their third consecutive World Cup, and that was held in Barbados. They beat Sri Lanka in the finals. Al Valentine out of Jamaican, Chanel Gabriel, who will be turning 33 on the 28th of April. Sugar Patel from the United States, who turned 24. Hilton Ackerman and Trevor Quick Ackerman, they're both celebrating. They're born this, share the same birthday. They'll be 74 years old. Gart Denley from Ireland, 24 years old. Mike Brayley, also he's from England. Ajit Pai will be 76 from India. Andy Flower from Zimbabwe will be 53. Craig Wright, 33, out of Scotland. And Jack Singleton, Australia, also will be celebrating. Lydia McKenzie, I think she has something to do with Mr. McKenzie. So let's hope he'll be coming on a little later, Mr. Yes. McKenzie. Andre Russell, yes. Andre Russell, the 29th, will be 33 years old. Andre, as he's called, J. Russ, yeah, will be 33 years old. Brian Tabor from Australia, from Wicketkeeper, 81 years old. James Faulkner, 31 years old. Marvin Harvey, also from Australia. Phil Tufnell will be 55. Sydney and Dudley Ripon also celebrate their birthday. Ashish Raina from India, 42 years old. Ashish Neera, 42 years old. Trent Johnstone from Ireland, 47 years old. And Stephen Baird from Namibia will be 29 years old on the 29th. So we have, for the 30th, Sister Marva Jones here in our neck of the wood. Marva will be celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday to you, Marva, on the 30th of April. And she's be celebrating along with Barrington Levy out of Jamaica. Barrington Levy will be 57 years old. And one sad little one is that Benny King, you understand, she's gone. Yes, she's gone. Yeah. Yes, Benny King. That Benny King, he died years ago. Benny King left us here. In Australia, we have Ian Healy, will be 57 years old on the 30th. Johnny Briggs, Walter Kenton, and also Alan Wheaton, all Englishmen. Rohit Sharma from India will be 34 years old on the 30th. Chris Morris from South Africa, they share the same birth date. He'll be 34 also. Anton Murray also from South Africa. And we have Andy McBrien from Ireland. He'll be 28 years old. And Ashke Hamraj, 25 years old, out of Scotland. Finally, for the 1st of May, we'll be saying May Day on Saturday. The Empire State Building was opened back in 1931. Yes, the 1st of May will be 90 years old, 90 years since it's been opened, Empire State Building. Then it was the tallest building in the world, Empire State Building. Sonny Ramadan from West Indies. Gordon Greenwich, Sir Gordon now. Ikomida Willett. Yes, all will be celebrating on the 1st of May. Now we have Mankad Patel from the United States, born in India. Yep. Rick Darling and Joe Garney, all from Australia. We have Ghulam Abbas, Idris Ali, and Kasim Asif, all from Pakistan. John Evans from England. Don Pringle from East Africa. Iris Jossop from the Netherlands, and Ryan here from Ireland. And this is what I have for you here right now, Leon. Yeah. So back to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Just want to welcome Jatin. And we, I think we had Virgil for a little while, but he seemed not to be talking. So Jatin, why don't you say good evening to the friends and well wishers and the panelists as well. Jatin? Jatin Patel.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a birthday or some significant occasion to mention, but I just want to give you an opportunity to do that.
Well, I already did celebrate it. Sachin Tendulkar's birthday and my daughter's birthday. And I'm
okay.
Ready to celebrate Van Lara's birthday the same day for my son's birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's just like coincidence for me. I'm celebrating both ways.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Patel, if you listen to the Saturday morning entertainment program, we did highlight those yesterday morning as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Good, good, good. Thank
okay.
you.
Yes, we highlight your daughter's birthday, Mr. McKenzie's daughter, and some more. Right.
Okay,
we
yeah.
do that what, for that day only. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
How about you, Dennis? Do you have some important dates to bring to attention?
No birthdays or anniversary at this time of the year from my side.
Okay, well, let me go and say salute my little grandson. It's Mr. Aki, Adrian Akil Morris, and he is celebrating 22nd birthday to year day today, and today is significant because you know it's 22 years since I got a ticket. I was speeding coming up from Miami to see my first and only grandson, and the cop pulled me over.
Put it the right way, Leon. Put it the right way. You're speeding up to see your first and only grandson.
Yeah, definitely. That's the case. That's the case. And I say, cop, I have my first grandson that is born, and I'm just trying to get up there and early to see him quickly. He said, well, let me write his ticket fast and give it so I can get up there faster, quicker. So, no, he didn't say that, but I made that up. But it's as if that were the case. But I'm so happy to have a grandson and the present young man. And today, he has gone fishing. He came by and we wish him birthday. He had a breakfast with us. He's gone fishing. That's his hobby. And some friends took him out fishing. And when they're on the sea, the internet has been lost. So I cannot call him and bring him on the show. But chances are we'll get him on sometime in the future. Also want to bring to your attention, folks, that my great nephew is born on tomorrow, 26, Fiona Francis, in Nova Scotia to my brother's son, Chad. And she's celebrating a birthday tomorrow, or will be tomorrow. And also my niece over there in New York, Duana Francis, 426. She has graduated and she's very much involved in her father. So I want to just offer my congratulations to them. Fiona, I haven't met you. Duane, I haven't seen you for a number of years, but I wish you well. I hope we continue to bless you. And Fiona, I hope you go be good and faithful to the rest of our family. So those are my wishes. I don't know if anyone else, or I'd like to have your say. Seem to have been dropped.
Yeah, you're breaking up. You're really breaking up. I don't know.
Yes.
Coming through, breaking up in pieces.
Okay.
You're hardly audible. You know, I can hardly hear you.
I agree with Audrey, you're breaking up and
badly. I don't know if you want to put on a song or something and try to rectify what's going on back there.
You're definitely
all right. So I'll go ahead from this point and give Leon some time to solve that little hiccup. I have two other birthdays. No, well, another birthday, and it just happened to, I did mention Marv already, but I have a friend up in Canada, Ben Jones. So we have Ben Jones and Marva Jones. no relation. Cool. Who knows? You know, they're both from Jamaica. Ben is listening up there in Canada, and Marva will be celebrating, of course, on Friday. Ben is the 27th. Tuesday. So that's what I have here for my birthdays. And of course, I think Virgil will be calling in about his brother Michael that celebrated his birthday yesterday. But then we're having, probably he's not live. Leon is trying to bring him in, but he's not able to do that. So we continue working on that one. Okay. So I'll just say then, we have come to the end of the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. And we just want to say thanks to you guys who have been listening and continue to listen over in Europe and in Australia, in India, all parts of Asia, right in the United States of America, and, of course, in the Caribbean. We're happy to have you join us here on Sundays. We know that there are other things that's happening, but you have stayed with us, and we just want to let you know that we really appreciate you doing that. And for all those, of course, who will be going back in the archives to listen to the program, we just want to say welcome, and we appreciate you, you know, going on the website and listening to what we have discussed Sundays after Sundays. We just appreciate you. And just tell your friends, and because our aim is to spread cricket right here in the United States and around the world, because we know cricket is an international game. It's the only game that really brings people together, if I may say so, because like for us in the West Indies, we are from different islands. Leon is from Antigua, Barbuda. I'm from Jamaica. I think my friend Dennis is from Jamaica, but an international man just like Simon, who's from I just forget. But, you know, some are from Nevis. We're from different places. And what really brought us together, it's cricket, right? Cricket. And that's why we are here together on Sundays, talking about cricket. So this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Join us next Sunday, of course, at our new time. This week was the second week at 6:30, when once again we'll present the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Leon, are you available?
Yes, thank you very much, Audley. Are you hearing me now?
Okay. Yes, I'm hearing a plane and clear.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We have a little hiccup here, so we'll have to make sure that we take it. And we are having some very difficult time here in the studios, but we will contend. So, Jason, what's on your mind? Tell me what's going on over in with the IPL.
Well, as I said last week, Chennai Super King, after five games, everyone played CSK back in the top position, followed by Delhi. Then you have Bangalore. They lost the first game against the Chennai Super King today. And then you have the followed by Mumbai Indians. So at the moment, looks like no one has a losing track. Means everyone has at least one game. Another way around, no one is a clear winner, like won all games. No, everyone has at least one loss. So it's in the balance. This is just five games out of 14. And we are expecting so much competitive cricket. And I will say, my expectation, just like last year, I don't think the playoff will be decided until we reach maybe 13th game out of 14th. And that's a tough situation is. And some of the good teams with the experience is about to bounce back, just like the Chennai Super King. They lost the first game, but since then, they come back and won four in a row. And then we have Royal Challengers, who won all previous four games, but now they lost. So it's a very hard to say, but the IPL is just like that. And it's like even performance. Sometimes team does very well at the beginning and they fall out. And sometimes they start horribly and come back and get into the playoff. One clear example was last year, Kings XI Punjab. I think it was halfway. They had lost almost everything, and they were at the bottom of the table. And then they put the Chris Gayle in, and they turned around the table, and eventually they made the playoffs. So it's very hard to say, but I can say one thing is sure, that IPL is living with the expectation. They are putting the real soul, competitive cricket. That's all it's all about. There are a lot of players. What we can see is not being used, like the Hyderabad team did not use the Ken Williamson for first couple of games. I don't know the reason, but looks to me, if they start using their potential players to come back into the game, the results will change, and that's what we're expecting. But anyway, look at it. Looks like it's going the show, and today, I don't know if you guys missed it or not, Rajendra Jadeja put 37 runs in the last over. That's like hard to believe, you know.
Yes.
But, there's a lot of things are coming up from the IPL. I will say all the records out there, someone can break it. That's the IPL is. They are not just improving, but day by day we can see the performances. Like somebody's turning around games, somebody's doing on a bowling side. But the beauty is about every game, you can expect some entertainment.
I have a question for JT.
Right.
Go ahead.
The game today, the Delhi Capitals and the Sunrisers, we know the super over was used for the first time. And,
In this series.
The super
in this
over
IPL,
was used.
Yeah.
Right. But my question comes down to this. Was it such a great idea using a super over to decide the tie, or why not use the traditional wickets lost or run rate? Because surely that would have been a whole lot easier. But the super over, I'm not sure. Do you think it worked? Is it something that we should be looking to, encourage in our T20 matches? Or was this just one of those things designed specifically to get the fans' attention? What do you think?
Well, I will say, I believe this is the second version of deciding that single over. When the first time happened, it was, I believe, India-Pakistan game in South Africa, way back in 2008. And they tried that soccer way. Like they had five bowlers on both sides, and they tried to bowl at the stumps without even batsmen. It's like a penalty kicks in soccer, you know. Mm-hmm. Only goalie is there and you're trying to kick the ball in. And that is what exactly they tried. And Pakistan lost it, I think, at the 3-2 or something, because Indian bowlers used to hit the stumps and Pakistan bowler missed the stumps, okay? So from there, I think this is the second version came out. They decided to put the batsmen. So it's a even, I think, policy is the same. Like you have any batsman can come back and play, but you are allowed to have maximum 2 wickets. So that means only 3 batsmen can bat in. And I think it's my opinion, this is the best way to do it. The reason for that, if you look at the other way, let's say if you go by the number of wickets or if you go by the number of sixes or number of fours or something, then this tie becomes the meaningless to me, because the team batting second, it's a fighting for everything, and they are bringing together the soul where you can expect that the game is tied. Means they work hard to balance the scorecard. So now, in this situation, you have to give the advantage to the team batting second, as well as you must give a fair chance to the team batting first. And that is what this super over is all about. You can get back. And if you look at the way the protocol is, the team batting second is the bats first. And then the team batting first in a real game is batting second. So this way, it's a fair chance for the both teams to prove it. You got extra over, you can go out and bat, and let's see what the outcome is. So it's not just a real entertainment for the fan, but in my opinion, this is the fair way to decide the game, rather than let it go with the tie.
But in today's game, did you note that the Delhi Capitals had a superior run rate? They also had lost less wickets in the match. So I guess it's kind of fitting that they actually came out on... Did they come out on top today? No, they didn't. They lost that, didn't they? Even though they had the superior run rate and lost less wickets in their innings at bat.
Well, again, there's a lot of things we can do, plus and minus balances. Like, for example, let's say team batting first score some runs on a last ball, but the team batting second score that run to equal on a fifth ball, but unfortunately sixth ball was a dart ball, okay? So we can think about it. Hey, previous team cannot be a winner because this team score little bit earlier than the previous team, right? Then you have number of wickets. Then you have a strike rate. Then you have a run rate. There is a runs per wicket. There are so many formulas they can come out with it. But I believe this is the simplest way for the fans to understand what is tiebreaker and what they're trying to achieve in that super over. You know, and if you look at it, we had the controversial situation in the last World Cup when England and then New Zealand both tied up and they went to the super over. And even in the super over, score was tied. But then, because of the policy, they made the England win because they had a extra boundary or so compared to New Zealand, right? So this, I will say, as long as it's a fair chance for the both team, and the both team has to go for the certain rules as set for the procedure, I think it's even. So it's like there's a lot of things need to be done, but I believe there's a format is at the moment, we are not expecting too many tie games. Like this one is, we are about like one-third games in IPL. So it's about 19, 20 games or maybe more than 20 games, and this is the first tie. So we don't expect the tie, but unfortunately it does at some point. And I think Super Over is a good idea at the moment.
What do we think
can I come in, Leon? Can I come in here?
Something. let me ask this, because I don't, isn't it the rules of the tournament, the condition of the tournament, that you have super overs if in fact they are leveled at the end of each inning?
Your voice is breaking, Leon. I cannot hear you.
Yeah. You start breaking up again, Leon.
Yeah, breaking up. Okay, it's hard to hear
anything. Host. I definitely have interference with the host. Something is wrong because we said fine. And the
you're not coming through. You're not coming through.
I don't get anything. Yeah,
We're being interfered with. That's all I can do right now. But
let me ask a question. You try to fix that because you're really not coming. We're not getting what you're saying plainly at all. You just got, just like that. So you're going to try and fix that one. I was saying, Dennis, is that in the past, what you're talking about, that was what used to happen, right?
Yes.
Determined by the amount of sixes or the amount of fours if they were tied with the sixes with the four. But it has been changed, and even in the World Cup, in the 50 over match with England and New Zealand, the ICC has also ruled that in the future they'll play a second super over. They are not going to decide whether it's by sixes or fours and stuff like that. They're going to make it play out on the field. Instead of staying in some boardroom or some place and work out who the winner turned out to be, they want to make each side have equal opportunity. It doesn't matter if you lost more wickets or whatever. But as long as the scores are leveled at the end of the allotted overs, then you choose the people you want to go out and bat and your bowler. And if it just happened that it's still tied after the first super over, you go again and give a second super over and so forth. So I think I'll agree with Mr. Patel. That's the easiest way. That's the easiest way for them to decide that instead of going using a computer, you do points, so on, you do whatever. No, get out on the field, and that's what the ICC has decided because, as I said, the former way, sometimes it just turn out to be heartbreaker. So
oddly
the best thing...
Oddly and Jatin, speaking of the Super Over, did you note in the Nepal Tri-Nation T20 International that the Duckworth-Lewis rule was used to decide the match between the Netherlands and Malaysia, who tied?
Duckworth-Lewis was used, because there was rain or something in
the
match.
Because
they
of rain.
Did not get, because of rain, not because of tie, but because of rain, they could not bowl the allotment of overs. So the Duckworth-Lewis comes in right there and give them a reduced number of runs to get, and
point
then
taken.
They did not make it. So it's not a tie match.
Yes, point taken.
Yes, indeed. You hear me, folks, now?
Yes,
we are hearing
you now. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Well, someone is interfering with the studios inside. I beg to, because I tested that and it's coming too clear. Okay, so as we were saying, Mr. Dennis, you got the gist, because my understanding is that the rules that was set up for the tournament. It could have been determined another way, but obviously they go.
Yeah, no, I do.
A tiebreaker.
I do.
I thought it was exciting, though.
I can tell you one thing. The super over, super over is just the one over extra over. And after that, means if the game is still tied after the super over, then they are not going for the extra over. Game is over. And I believe those criteria, just like they use against that World Cup final, it comes in a place, like who score more boundaries. So,
but
that's
the
second
ICC
factor.
Decided they're not going to do that again, Jason. ICC decided that if they should be, if they are still tied, they're going to go
but
for
I
a
think,
second.
Yeah, but I think
so I don't know
what
the rule of the IPL. Yeah.
IPL has the same thing. I know that maximum one over as a super over. That's it. After that, there is a, some other calculation comes in a place, and I believe that God will be either run rate or the number of boundaries. I can dig out that information, but I know for sure that they are not bowling more than 21 overs.
Yes, folks. So let me just say that you're listening to the cricket show, Leon Francis host with Audley Watson, Kenny Seat, and also Jatin Patel, and listening are Ivor Henry and Murchis Nesbitt and some other folks. We just want to thank you for listening and thank you for that bearing with us. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we just want ask that you bear with us as, until we get it fixed. The matter has been reported to the technicians in the studios back in New York. Hopefully they'll have it fixed in a jiffy. So as you were saying, Jatin, did I cut in between?
Well, I think we've pretty much completed that tone there.
No, I want to just siphon on off to something else, because I feel right now that the switch hitting is something that the tournament organizers and the ICC should look into, because a batsman has a chance to switch, meaning that he can turn left and bat right and hook you, and you don't have a chance to set the field when once you set the field and just move the field. What say you guys? And this happened.
Well,
I can jump in first.
I will say that the rules supposed to be changed. Once the batsman takes the stance, is not allowed to go for those reverse. Reverse sweep is okay, but the switch is supposed not to be allowed. Just like once you have the umpire bowling right arm over, you are not allowed to bowl with the left arm, right? And why you let
exactly.
go the batsman to do as a freedom? Okay, that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, in this IPL, if you look at, I would say lots of non-strikers are taking a huge advantage, leaving the crease early before even ball release. Now, I believe they need to stop this nonsense, period.
Yes.
Because
yep.
as per the law, you're supposed not to leave the crease until the ball has been delivered. And if the bowler does, then you are talking this man-kidding and leaving the crease and not following sportsmanship. So the rule first, are you following the rule as a non-striker? So in my opinion, they need to change this thing. And the way I look at it, if the batsman is taking off, means leaving the crease before ball has been delivered, it's supposed to be automatic run out.
Okay, I think so. I think something ought to be done.
Leon, you will recall that a couple of weeks back, I brought this up as a question, you know, as to why it is allowed. Because the bowler must maintain a certain field level. For example, he cannot put more than two men behind the wicket on the leg side.
Yes.
So why should the batsman be able to take advantage of this? So my personal opinion is that it should be outlawed if it's done. You know, now no ball should be called, and possibly it should be outlawed totally. You know,
yes,
I mean,
yes. I saw it and I said, well, this has definitely has to. I remember when you brought that up, but we let it pass by. But now it has come to a point that, you know, you have to do something with it. And it's a great advantage.
I think the only reason it's not outlawed already is because the T20 is basically a batsman game. You know, people are coming to see the excitement, the sixes and the fours, and the switch hit, the reverse sweep, and everything.
That should be no criteria. You come to see
it's a disadvantage for the bowlers, especially for the bowling team. You know, we know that, and it's been happening for a while, and nothing's been done about it. So maybe the ICC may step in, you know, they may just step right in and change things. In the meantime, it's been used, and that's why when a bowler excel in T20, you really have to stand up and give him his dues, because with the uncertainty of the stance and everything. It's hard on the bowlers, you know. It's hard on the bowlers.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't think. To another, Go ahead. Denny. No, I was going to switch the topic and go to another point as we on the IPL. But if you have another point pertaining to the point we are talking on now, go ahead and then let's.
Well, I can add to that. That if they don't want to change the rule about leaving the crease, the popping crease, I will say change the non-striker's position. He need to start behind the stump line, just like the baller days, and then you take off. So that will take that elimination of that sportsmanship and cheating word, we call it. I seen this one of the picture. This batsman is almost 2 yards out of the popping crease at the moment of the delivery. I mean, like, you let it go. If you say this is unsportsman's thing to let him run out, then what's the point of these rules? There got to be some rule which can help the fielding side, you know?
Did anyone note the match, the Super 1, Super Over, that there was a switch hit that took place in this match?
That will make me brought it up today, because I noticed that there was a switch hitting. And that's what I said. That's why it caused me to bring it up tonight.
Yeah, definitely unfair.
Another thing before we move on for the IPL, Jatin, the other day I heard you were saying that Mumbai Indians are still in line. Are you still in favor? I think.
I'm up for it. Just wait. Okay. If you look at the Mumbai Indian fiasco, I call it. It's a disappointing. In the very first game when they lost to Royal Challengers, they lost almost 3 or 4 wickets in last over, right? And then in the 3 more games, if you look at it, at critical stage, they are losing wickets. And they are not the turning around the game. And their main click, we call it, which is Kieran Powell and Hardik Pandya, they are not triggering the momentum they used to last year, okay? But let me tell you, the nightmare is over. Mumbai Indians played those games in a Chennai, which is known for the turning track. And that's what this middle order failed. Now, they switch the ground. They are not playing anymore in Chennai. So just wait for the next game and few games, I will say. Mumbai Indians is coming back. This is what exactly happens with the Chennai Super King too. Because sometimes, if you are not used to, especially in Indian conditions, in the subcontinent, we call it. Mumbai is a way west. Chennai is a southeast, where the Kolkata is a way east. And if you look at the weather-wise and the ground condition, it creates a different environment. And it's a very hard to bat on, especially in Chennai, than you bat in the Bombay, means the Mumbai. So now, because of the switching grounds, I believe the some of the teams going to bounce back, and the team is going in Chennai as a rotation, we're going to have some difficult time to keep winning.
Well, what are your thoughts there, Mr. Gentlemen? Let me welcome Mr. McKenzie. He has just woken up. Good evening to you, Mr. McKenzie. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. Sorry to be a bit late this evening. I had something on the pot cooking, so sorry about that. But anyway, just enjoy joining your good guys on this program. I will close up and listen to you guys.
We are happy to have you too, and hope all is well in your neck of the woods and with your family. And you have a niece that is having a birthday today. Do you even come to say hello to her, or you say wish her well? Am I correct in saying that?
Yep, you're right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that was yesterday.
Well, we celebrate.
And there's
there's
another McKenzie here that I think he's involved.
No. That must be a counterfeit.
No.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
I just want to let you know that it was done yesterday and it's done today again. So great that you were able to celebrate. We're saying perhaps you may be out celebrating. But then nevertheless, join the conversation. So, Mr. Jatin, as you were saying, anything else new? The 11 lines between your eyes.
No, nothing much from my side.
What about this question, Leon? How are the West Indian players faring in the IPL so far? Because I looked and I can see, you know, I haven't seen any real outstanding performances to date. What does the other members
Except
of the group
Gail
think?
Made 40 the other day.
Well, I was answer your question. I would say lukewarm. That's how
lukewarm.
I describe it. Lukewarm. Russell, Narine, Hetmeyer. I don't know what happened to Jason Holder. Bravo is made a 20 something, but that's down right. You know, and Coran and his team is bowling so well. I would say lukewarm.
Gail make two 40s. Gail make two 40s.
Gail,
let me add, he made a 40, and then I think yesterday's game, or not too, you know, he made another 40, but he has been mainly 15, 8, and yes, and stuff like that.
And 11.
Fabian came in, I didn't get to follow up.
He made 9 and he didn't get to, I think he bowled 1 over and got 15 runs in 1 over. I would say lukewarm. Hutton Cole, not up to expectation. And I don't know what happened to Jason Holder. He had a good match. He had a 3-4, and they dropped him the other day, or they didn't play him because of the overseas allotment. So nobody is turning up. And Puran is here, there and thereabouts, too. So they're not
Puran
putting
not
the...
at all.
I don't know if anybody feels different to me. Yeah? I don't even... And Hetmeyer, well... His team won against Mumbai Indian, and he was the one who hit the running runs. So, but all in all, I would say not up to the usual standard. That is my assessment.
And of course, the West Indian pool has shrunk over the years, so we have less and less guys to look out for from the Caribbean. And when they're getting the opportunity, and we're looking for them to shine, they're not living up to our expectations.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if anybody sees it any differently, but I don't think they're up to scratch. Gail is performing better than the younger ones. I don't think anybody else has ever passed 40 for the West Indies. Russell is a shadow of himself, you know.
Well, he made one good score. And when it looked like everything was dead and dusted, himself and Jameson, I think Rayudu, one of Kartik, and then the Australian Cummins, the Australian fast bowler there, now look like all rounder.
Cummins,
brought the game back. And they lost by 18, but when you look on the context of the game, when Russell went in, they were 30 out for 5. So the commentators, everybody was saying they're going to have an early night, you know, because the other side made, I think, 221 or 222. And with one side down inside the power play, they were already 32 for 5. So they were looking for them to maybe all out for less than 100. And then Russell and Kartik came in and really turned things around, and then that magnificent, run by Cummins, where he hit 30 runs in one over, and they eventually lost.
Yeah.
But then it was even the margin of the loss, you know, don't really bring out the excitement, the excitement what was in the game, because, you know, they came back virtually from the dead and just losing. You said something, Leon, sorry.
No, I was just asking, someone scored, wasn't it the data who scored 30 odd runs in an over today?
Sir, yeah, you said 37.
Yeah.
Was there no ball?
37.
Got to be a no ball. That'll be a no ball.
Total 37 runs
is not an individual score. It has extras, but the 37 total runs for the team.
Okay, good. I didn't see it yet, so get us.
Leon, can I switch?
I have a question. Let me just finish off because Jatin, am I saying that you are saying that Mumbai Indian is still the front runner in your book to win the championship, the three peaks?
I will still say Mumbai Indian number one, Chennai Super Kings two, and Delhi three. These are the playoff contenders.
Yeah, DC three, well, Chennai second, right?
So Bangalore not in your first three, Denton?
No. Who said Mumbai? You said Mumbai, Chennai.
Mumbai, Chennai, and Delhi.
And what about
Royal Challenge Bangalore?
Their nightmare is already just started. They lost the first game, and now switch off this ground, you know. And don't forget. At one point, they had a Abbie de Villiers in the team. They had a Virat Kohli in the team. They had a Chris Gayle in the team. Still, they did not win, okay? So Virat Kohli is labeled traditionally, like he is not a championship contender, just like that, you know? And even they are making changes, I believe it will be very difficult for them to maintain this winning momentum they got in initial stage because of the ground change, and the competition is now firing up, I will say. A lot of teams are pumping their performance, and we have to see how they do. But these three teams with the experience and talented players, I think they're going to come out at the top at the end.
Yes, the last matches are lost narrowly. Because of things. But I think this is Kohli's year, man. I think Kohli's team is going to pull this off this year. I just feel so. I back Mumbai all the way, but I'm just beginning to think that they never were like this before. But just hope that they can pull it around. But I think the Kohli team has got to be doing real, real, real bad. They go into a slump. And I don't see that happening. But anyway. Mr. Dennis, you said you had a question. Is it pertaining to this, or are you going to something else? Because we want to touch.
I wanted to segue into the Tri-Nation tournament, you know, Nepal, Netherlands, Malaya.
Oh, Nepal and the Netherlands?
Yeah. Yes. And I really wanted maybe Jatin has some info on this one. I'm curious about the makeup of the Nepalese team. Is it a team of expat, or is it a team of native-born players? What can you tell us about? I'm really curious because they've done so well in these in this Tri-Nation tournament, and I just wondered if they were all native-born players or expats.
Against Holland, right? It's against Holland.
They've won three games out of they've done very well, and they won the final, but it's the composition of the Nepalese team that I'm curious about. Are they expat players, you know,
from India
and, other
Pakistan,
places? Or were they, if he has any information on the composition of the team, you know.
Do you, Jatin? I just have a feeling the teams are improving. They're playing more cricket and they're in other tournaments, they obviously are getting more practice, but you can't rule it out that Indians are going over and Pakistanis are going over to play in those tournaments, and they may qualify to be in the national team. But that's my take, but they are definitely improving.
Remember, they have one of the world's best spinners, you know. There's a young Nepalese spinner.
Lamichani.
Right.
Yeah, Lamichani.
There are other guys there that are very good. We have to remember that teams like Kenya and some other teams in Africa, when you hear the name come up, it's pure like some Pakistani or Indian name, Patels and all those stuff on the team, because they have large congregation, large section of the country that are Indians, you know. And you know, anywhere the Asian goes, they're going to play cricket. And so when the size is picked, it's going to be made up, the composition is going to be made up mostly of Asian players. Look at the names and you will see. But some of them are native born, you know, to those countries. But, you know, maybe parents move you know, business or whatever from earlier. And then, of course, anywhere they go, as I said before, if you have two Indian family in a country or in an island, you're going to have cricket played. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go on until they have children, until they have a cricket team.
I have to say, I wasn't really, you know, attempting to criticize. I'm merely curious to know the composition.
No, I'm
because...
not saying you're criticizing. Don't think you were undertaking it that way. Nobody's taking it that way, you know?
Yeah. It's good to see it, you know, because for one, I did not realize the standard out in that far east area, Nepal, Malaya, was as good as it appears to be now in the T20 era. And certainly Netherlands, I know they have been knocking on the door for many, many years.
They already played in World Cup when it comes
right.
to the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another team you watch is out of Hong Kong, you know?
I haven't seen the Hong Kong team, but...
But one other thing you have to take in mind, we have to got to take a look at what they're doing to, you know, neck of the woods here in the Western League, because you no longer can we take any team for granted, because they are trying their utmost to at least improve their cricket. And remember, we went over to Nigeria and got beaten. We went to Ireland one time and got beaten. You know, we take it for granted. So no longer are we going to be able to take it for granted, because these teams wants to be up there in the ranking. They want to reach the World Cup. So you got to give it to them. They are taking pride in what they're doing and trying to strive to improve each and every time they appear. So what can we say? We can just say we are going to do the same to bring our team up to level with the others in the world. And just don't take those teams lightly. Because Afghanistan, you see how far Afghanistan have come? Afghanistan have a spinner who is classified or rated as the best in the world right now. I don't know if anybody
Rashid
knows. Yes,
Khan, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Rashid
without
Khan,
any doubt.
Yeah, among the best. Yeah.
So, West Indies can't support any individual player who is the best in the world today, can we? So, we can't take that for granted. And you mentioned the other Lamachani guy there. The world-class spinner, too. He has played all over and has been able to get wickets. It's a pity I don't see him in the IPL, but the guy is world-class. We saw him in the CPL, and he has performed, you know, creditably. So let us not underrate them. Holland used to be a good team, but what happens, I don't know. Remember, they had quite a few fast bowler, one who had the displeasure of hitting they had a fast bowler who did some damage to our coach, Phil Simmons, remember? A fast bowler from Holland who hit, I think he hit our CEO down here too. Not the CEO, but the director of cricket from Jamaica there.
Jimmy Adams.
One of them, Adams, and then one hit Simmons as well. So we cannot take these teams for granted. They are learning the art, and don't write them off. When you go, you got a players, if you're playing Australia, or you're playing India, or you're playing New Zealand. Anyone else?
And they're gonna do their best, because if you can beat a team like the West Indies or Bangladesh or any one of those teams that has test status, it's a big notch in their belt, you know, and you can't take that away from them. So they're gonna come out, come full firing at you from all on all cylinders. So you can't take them, Leon, rightly, as you say, for granted.
No way, no way. So, folks, can we touch the Sri Lanka Bangladesh test series? I thought that did some disservice to test cricket. Anybody feel the same way? Or am I? What were they playing for? For a draw? Or were they playing to kill test cricket?
Well,
somebody type in or something on the back, I guess.
Some paper.
Sorry,
yeah. Shuffle.
Gentlemen, I apologize. That was me.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you go ahead.
Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. You know, I don't think they're trying to kill the game, but you have to look at it this way, Leon. Bangladesh batted first, and it must have taken them, 2 days to put on 541 in set for seven. That means that there's 3 days remaining in the match. So Sri Lanka had to go out there, and remember, coming from behind, they first had to avoid the follow-on, score as much as, 300 plus, or pretty much almost 400. So they took their time because they were really looking to not lose the match. So a shout out to, Karunaratne, 244 runs he scored, and De Silva in the same. It was due to be a draw because of the massive total. Once Bangladesh was unable to enforce the follow-on, it was almost impossible that it was going to get a result. That's my take on that.
Do you remember some years ago, Steve Smith came to the Caribbean and declared behind the first innings total for the West Indies? He declared. Oddly, you remember that?
I remember that.
And we went on to lose. Did you remember that too?
You know what happened in this game, Australia? They were on top at the time, so they could do things that our ordinary team could not have done. The thing with Sri Lanka, Bangladesh right now, don't forget, Sri Lanka were beaten by New Zealand. Was it New Zealand or Pakistan? One of them, I forget right now, who they're beaten by. And Bangladesh, of course, were beaten by the West Indies. Not our first team, may I remind you of that. And those two teams, since that, I think they were beaten again by, if I'm not mistaken, which team go to South Africa? Whatever happened there is that both sides were playing not to lose. Both sides were playing not to lose again, because I don't think they want to slip further down the ranking ladder. And as I said before, they play cautiously, because one team putting on 541 for 70 clear, right? And the next team answered right in their reply, 648 for 8 clear. We have to remember that a draw is also a result. It's not a win, it's not a loss, but it's a result. But as Dennis pointed out before, after making 541, you first of all, you have to bat to save the follow-on, because if you get follow-on, then your position, you know, will have the advantage. So they went about their business in a timely manner. And in so doing, even overhaul the Zimbabwe score, which is no small thing, because 541 in test match, you don't hear that every day. And they end up with 648 for 8. So I wouldn't say they're playing to kill cricket. Each one are playing to make sure that they don't lose a match. And by building a big score, Bangladesh in the first innings and Sri Lanka surpassed that, it makes sure that there would have to be some dramatic collapse in the second innings for any of the team think about winning. Because they overall a big score, 571 by 107. So when Bangladesh ended up on 100 for 2, they were still 7 behind. You know? Well, I think they're going to play them as well.
A draw is a good result. Good, but you can have two types of draws. You can have an exciting draw and a dull draw. You know, we could have a more exciting draw.
If you're going to play for an exciting draw, sometimes it turns out that you lose. You may end up losing.
Well, Yeah, it may, but you may end up winning too. You may end up winning too. So it's as wide as it's broad. Jatin, your thoughts. Jatin, your thoughts. Come on in, Jatin. Jatin lost us.
Yes.
Mr. Dennis, do you have anything to add?
Not on that point, but I wanted to ask perhaps the panelists for their thoughts on the Zimbabwe defeat of Pakistan, bowling Pakistan out for 99. So I heard there was a bowler there. There was some talk. I'm not quite sure what it was. Maybe somebody has some insight into what that was about, because the Pakistanis, I think, had some complaints, but I'm not quite sure what it was.
No, but they lose the series, though. Pakistan won the series, nevertheless. But, you know, they had a bad match. I have to say they had a bad match. You know, bowled out for 99. It's not their usual way. You know, sometimes Pakistan blow hot and cold, you know. And you over
oh,
here.
Yeah. They are known to be that way.
Yeah, they blow hot and cold. You remember, sometimes they lose badly and they win well. Go ahead.
I want to point out also that that's the first time in the history that Zimbabwe is going to beat, they have beaten Pakistan in a T20 match. So, yeah, it's a feather in the cap. They lost the series. But the fact that they made only 118 for 9, any cricket fan, anybody who knows anything about it would say, hey, it's a foregone conclusion because Pakistan is just going to knock that off. And in any case, they started out the fall of the first week. It wasn't until 21, and then 37 for 2, and 56 for 3. All right, 56 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
He's still, Babar Azam was still there batting. He was still batting. And when he got out, it was 78 for 4, right? And the rest just couldn't get it over the hump. So the guys, you know, stick to the task, the guys from Zimbabwe, the bowlers. And it was nice to see that, of course, you have one bowler taking 4 wickets for 18 runs. So, and Burl took 2 for 21. But the fact that for the first time they can say, look, we beat Pakistan. Yes, we have beaten Pakistan finally. They lost the series, but it wasn't the usual 3-0. It was a 2-1 defeat this time. So,
yes, 2-1 defeat.
Yes, I like when the underdogs like Zimbabwe and, you know, come out not looking too bad. And may I remind you guys, when West Indies played the first test match, they lost, and they lost big. And every test playing country, when Afghanistan played against India, they lost in 2 days in their inaugural match. But Zimbabwe in their inaugural match, what you'd say, oh, they're going to be run over by the opponents. They drew the match, their inaugural test match, and not every other country. With England and Australia, we know played the first, and England lost to Australia. And every other team since that, away from Zimbabwe, lost their inaugural test match. Away from Zimbabwe, they draw this.
Yes, sir. You know, I forget to mention this in the test, the drawn test match. See how criticized that, the pitch. Did you recognize that?
Criticize the pitch
because you have fed a bet? Anybody criticize the pitch? And say, because the one in Antigua was criticized because it was dead, it was this, you know, but I saw Lakmal hitting guy on the helmet. So, I don't know. But we have our brother that has woken up, and that's who that is. Only make a guess. Good guess.
Mr. McKenzie, I've heard you.
No. Mr. Simon, man, he's in. Come on in, Simon. Come on in.
And a very good evening to you, Mr. President. Good evening, Audley. Good evening, Virgil.
Good evening,
Ivor. Mr. McKenzie, I heard you, Mr.
Good evening,
Patel.
Sir. Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
evening,
I do hope
sir.
That Cardinal is with us. I want to say good evening to him. And all our faithful listeners and our young lady here in Tampa, I want to say a very good evening to all our faithful listeners all over the world who listen to us so faithfully on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I'm once again happy to be with you men who know the game so well, and ladies too, you do know the game. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I want to be fair to everybody, because this is a show about cricket, and we want everybody to learn about the game, more about the game, and see much more of the game in this country played, and we will be much, much better off that we did our part to bring cricket to America. I hope everyone is well and want everyone to be safe and their family. Stay safe, as Mr. McKenzie would say, stay in your crease.
That's right.
And it is better to be 6 feet apart than 6 feet under.
Yes, indeed. You're welcome. We're happy to have you, Simon.
I thank you, Mr.
You
President. I'm happy to be here.
I'm hoping that you have a very, very interesting question for the panelists. So
okay.
Why don't you...
We are all ready for a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question for the night.
Ready or not, here it comes.
I know. Okay, please, gentlemen, ladies, tell me the highest score scored by Marlon Samuels of West Indies. I'm going to tell you he's from West Indies, plays for West Indies. Tell me his highest score, what year for bonus points, and against whom. I'm going to ask you again. Marlon Samuel played for West Indies. I think he's from Jamaica. I know Audrey will tell
Jamaica,
him, right?
Yes, he's from Jamaica.
He's from Jamaica.
Okay. Tell me his highest test score, and for bonus points, against which country and in what year?
Ooh.
Wow. I think it's 260. 260.
I said 254 against England. In 19, when he came off of the ban, I think when he came back from off of the ban, so that should be, I can't remember the year, but when he came off the ban.
Okay.
I said 254 against England.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir. Who is next?
Yeah, somehow it's ringing like 260. I'm just guessing,
well,
but
I'm
here in 260. I'm here in 260.
So. I'm guessing, so whatever. 260, well, they complete the question. 260 against whom and what year?
Yeah, it was against England. I don't know the year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Audley. Do we have Virgil with us? Virgil with us?
No.
No, my guess is 240.
Dennis has a guess. Dennis, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, 278.
Dennis, I'm sorry I didn't call you. So sorry. Happy to have you with us, Dennis.
Yes, thank you. 278, I'm not sure who it was against, but I would certainly take a stab because most of my fellow panelists think it's England. So I'll go along with that one. And
okay.
The year will probably be about 1985.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, that's too far back.
No, too far back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Too far back. But
is Ivor with us today? Ivor with us?
Listening, but I don't know if he's in a position to talk. His hands are down.
What about Cardinal?
No one else.
Okay.
Virgil is not with us either. Virgil is not with us. So.
Okay. Should I reveal my aunt? Oh, Mr. Patel, I haven't heard from him.
How about Jatin? How about Jatin? I think Jatin has been dropped. Jatin is working on our guest. He's working on our guest, so he'll be back.
Okay, because I could count on him and Audley to give us the right answers. Okay. You want me to reveal the answer,
right,
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, answer for tonight, 25th of April. High score scored by Marlon Samuel of Jamaica and West Indies in test cricket is 260 runs scored against...
Audley, one right, Audley.
Scored against Bangladesh in 2012. I'm going to repeat. Marlon Samuels, Jamaica and West Indies player in test scored his highest score was 260 against Bangladesh in the year 2012.
All right.
I didn't remember the team, but I know it was 260. Yeah. I could hear that ringing in my head. 260.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I could count on Audley or Mr. Patel to get the answer. They always know the answers.
Yes. Okay. Now, oddly, a question for Simon. Give him a hard question.
I know he's going to give me a difficult one.
He stumped us, literally. He stumped me.
I know he's going to give me a different one, like how many stumps make a wicket? Don't give me a very hard one.
Okay. There is a Jamaican who captained the West Indies on 22 occasions. What's the name of that Jamaican? In Test cricket. He captained the West Indies on 22 occasions in Test cricket. What's the name
of
that Jamaican?
Okay, let me go now. Let me go. They say, my professor always said, when in doubt, go for the obvious. I'm going to go with the Jamaican fast bowler who bowled with the Antiguan. What's his name?
Walsh.
Walsh.
Okay. All right. You're the winner. Yes, sir, you got it.
My professor always says, when in doubt, go for the obvious.
Jimmy Adams actually captained the West Indies as well, but he captained the West Indies for 20 matches.
Thank you. Okay. You see how much I learned from you, gentlemen and ladies?
That was so easy. That was so easy, oddly. You have to ask him another.
Yeah, let me stop him with one. Leon, let me stop him with one.
When I came on the show, I think I was maybe about 8 years ago I came on, and I always tell Mr. President, you know, I was just in the kindergarten. Now I'm up in third grade. I learned so much from you fellows.
We have learned so much from you too, Simon. We have learned so much in those questions.
Man.
And
thank you, panelists.
For us to
We learn from each other. We learn from each other. It's a pleasure to be on this show, you know, and
important
men love the game so much and know the game. Yeah.
And Simon, let me say how much important you are to the cricket show, and it's the function that we operate behind the scenes. Day after day, you and I will get together to plan for this show and to raise funds. So I just want to just give you a big, big shout out for all the wonderful work that you have done to assist me and the team to make this show possible by your taking on the responsibility of mailing out envelopes to folks to solicit funding. And believe you me, it has not gone unnoticed. And I'm really and truly appreciative of it. And folks need to know the important part that Simon plays. Although he doesn't come on early, he has some important function to do behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We are grateful. Yeah. Quickie Show is grateful for you. And Irma.
Yeah, I thank you very much that you appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to you a couple of years back, and I know that you're busy, you have your work and all. I'm retired. I say, Mr. President, I'll help you with the correspondence. I'll send out the letters and all that. And then my friends and family said, should I send the money to you? I said, no. Send it straight to Mr. President, and he's going to go right in the account for the cricket show. And Mr. President would call me, Simon, he's so happy. I got something from so-so-so. And I say, okay, I'm going to send him a receipt, thank you note, you know. So I said, I'm going to help out the president because he was doing all this by himself. And I know he has a job to do, especially tax season. He's busy. So I took that burden from him. And it's a pleasure for me to do it, to help cricket.
Great.
Anything to help cricket,
so,
I am
Simon,
all for it.
Mr.
Yeah.
Simon, in England you have a name for that man, the Minister of the what, Exchequer? Something like, I forget the exact name.
Exchequer.
The Finance Minister, right.
Yeah. All right.
You know, there was another panelist comes on in the evenings also. I didn't hear his voice for a while.
Ed Lewis?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, he has not been with us for a while.
That's what I
Ed
noticed.
Ed travels sometimes he's working, so whenever he can, he drops in, but he can't be here with us every
Yes, and sometimes during the week, too, I call up Dennis and we talk a little bit, you know, about his cricket game, and he's played a lot of cricket, much more than I did, and he knows a lot about the game, and we talk back and forth, you
fellow
know.
Fellow Englishman.
So, Yes, yes, he knows the game very well, and he loves the game, and he played much, much more cricket than I did. I have to be honest with you, you know. I said I wasn't good enough to make a living from cricket, but I love the game.
Gentlemen, a story that is breaking loose, Sri Lanka, South Africa. South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa.
Tell us all about it, Mr. McKenzie. Tell us all about what you have read.
Well, what happens on in South Africa, they have 14 managers representing the entire country. And the other day they want to change. There was some discussion about changing it, but it didn't come through. And now it's likely, if it doesn't resolve itself, the government is going to go in, and that's the last thing you want to see happen to cricket anywhere, because the ICC will just pull away from any country where the government has taken over. So that's where we are now. I was looking for some
quote
about if it was resolved today. I didn't see any resolution to it. I don't know where it stands with South Africa right now. If you have any updates, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
I don't hear none. Anyone knows anything about what happened? But according to the West Indies Cricket Board, they seem to think that the tour to the West Indies by the South Africa is still on. According to Johnny Graves, they're still on. But in,
well,
Leon,
I think it's just like us hoping that it will come off. Because if things deteriorate down in South Africa there, that the government should ever take over, you know, that's a no-no. Ask Zimbabwe about that and anywhere that the government intervene. You know, the ICC don't allow that at all. And if that happens, goodbye tour of the West Indies. Even if a tour is going to take place, it wouldn't be an official tour.
I have a little information here. Essentially, there are some administrators are having a new Cricket South Africa board, which has a majority of independent members. Specifically, there are 5 presidents of provisional association on the member council who do not want to agree to having this majority independent board. And so they cannot agree on, you know, who the administrative side of it. And as a result of that, I think the Minister of Sport in that area there has the right to step in and fix the problem. And so here we have the threat by the minister who says unless they come to some arrangement, they will, as they call it, defund or derecognize the South African, Cricket South Africa president or whatever's going on there, which means they're about to post a legal warning that they must agree within a week or so, failing that the minister will step in. And of course, once that happens, I think my fellow panelists have already ruled what may come about as a result of the ICC pulling away because of the governmental political involvement in this. That's as much as I can shed on that one.
That's where we are at the moment.
That would mean that the players individually would not be able to play with any recognized body that is sanctioned by the ICC.
I think as individuals, they can go on contract and stuff like that to play like domestic cricket, but they couldn't play as a South African team because if you are not recognized by the ICC,
you can't
represent. No, right.
Well, essentially, if they're not able to, you know, potentially if South Africa is no longer recognized, then existing structures as we know them would cease to exist. Another governing body could possibly be formed, but it would not be recognized by the South African Sports Ministry and the ICC in order to represent South Africa in international cricket. So
who gave that ultimatum about the agreeing a week time? The ICC gave the ultimatum.
Are we sure of that, Leon? I thought that was the minister in South Africa who said you have an ultimatum. agreed
within a week. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I read the report, it says the minister. I think it's the minister.
Yeah, the sports minister, yeah. He was the
one. Oh, that sanction a team. So that means that, that ICC will allow them to play? So if the minister, if they went on?
If that happens, then the body will not be recognized by the ICC and this South African sports minister will not recognize the new body unless they agree. And therefore, if they're not recognized by the ICC, they cannot play international cricket. They can play cricket any way they want, but they won't be recognized by the ICC to play international cricket anywhere in the world.
Yeah, we have to remember Zimbabwe, the same way Robert Mugabe, when he intervened in some disputes on there and took over the whole run of cricket, and you know what happened. They were suspended. They didn't play for quite a while.
But, gentlemen, Jatin is back with us. So, Jatin, you have any news for us? Or were you in with the conversation that we are talking?
No, not following South Africa lately because they had since that England called off the tour, and then Pakistan tour was also in some trouble both ways. Pakistan had some players got into the COVID situation, and then majority of the players from South Africa went on to play IPL. And since then, that series was kind of limelight, you know. There's not much attention given by the cricket media or most of the world, and that's like very unfortunate. When the IPL is going on, the major draw is towards the IPL, you know. People are not following too much with the other games, and that's a setback. But yes, for the West Indies side, they need to come out with something. But at the moment, I will say for until the summer, I doubt it if they can make any movement, you know, schedule-wise, because they have so many players tied up in IPL, as well as they have lots of new players from the Sri Lanka series and Bangladesh series. So let's see how it makes progress, because the West Indies might have planned, but it also goes with the situation around the world in COVID as well as the government issue, you know.
I just dug up some information here, Leon. The basis of the ongoing disruption lies in the reluctance of the member council to agree to a majority independent board, even though it had done so as far back as 2012 in the aftermath of the year bonus scandal. There was some scandal that caused some problems, ostensibly because they want cricket to be run only by people involved in cricket structure rather than by business people from the outside. CSA has been embroiling administrative issues for the last 18 months and have rotated through three different acting CEO following the suspension of Mr. Thabang Moreau for misconduct. So it's all of that which is causing this huge problem, going back to that bonus scandal way back whenever it took part. And this is the crux of the matter, you know, disagreeing on administrative side.
But we never like to see anything happen to any member of the cricket team playing countries at all. We want to see cricket expand and cricket develop and cricket, you know. Something is happening in soccer too, that they nearly had a disruption of soccer the other day. But we want cricket to be stable and to produce the best quality players to represent their nation. So I just hope they can have it settled. It's not so much about money, right? It's not so much about money. We didn't hear anything about money.
Well, remember, there was a bonus scandal. So, yes, that's money there, Leon, and it looks as
okay, money, okay. No, money for the bonus for the players?
That much I don't have, but it's obviously involved money because there is some suspension of the previous administrator for misconduct.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that well. Yeah, it was suspended.
Okay.
So
You have something else? I want to siphon off onto another phone.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a new point here, and Mackenzie down there in Houston can probably help us out on this one.
By the way, you're talking about Houston. I understand that teams from players from the Caribbean, like Racking Cornwall and so, were in Texas. Did you hear anything about that, Mr. Mackenzie, last week?
No, I was checked. I heard, I got a glimpse of it, but I didn't get, I was checking it today, but no details.
Well, can
the
I give you what I have?
Unless you have something, you found something that I didn't find out.
Yeah, I'm hearing that two major league cricket squad are joined by a USA training group for a triangular series of 50-over matches starting last Monday down in April 22nd down in Houston. USA cricket men's training camp held there earlier, with 28 of the men's training group remaining in Texas following the Houston Open. 14 of the men's training group have come together to replace a third side in the tournament who were unable to travel to represent USA cricket training group 11.
Mm.
Major cricket league and USA Cricket are pleased to announce a series of practice matches that will begin at the Prairie View Cricket Complex in Houston, Texas, with three teams. Opportunities for Major League Cricket players and members of the USA Cricket team. What happened was, I think they had a tournament planned for Houston, but because of the volcano eruption in St. Vincent, the players from Barbados or the Caribbean CPL former players were unable to travel. And so they could not come. And as a result, the Major League squad and the USA squad who were at the site, they got together with the players and they formed three groups. And together they were playing about six individual matches of 50 overs during the course, and the first one was on April the 22nd, and they would be playing from the 22nd right through to the 27th. So there are still two more matches to go, so we will designate Mac to come back and give us the report next Sunday about what's going on, because I'm assuming it's near Mac, but that's of course an assumption on my part. Are we close to
and
that,
when
Mackenzie?
You talk about Mac, you mean Mac Mackenzie, right? Mackenzie.
Yes, that's Mackenzie, my
apologies. And here, did you I heard the prize money was good too, $40,000?
I can't give you that. I don't have that information.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought I heard that. But anyway, you were saying something else before I broke off that point. But go right ahead. I think you wanted to raise something before I jump into something else. That's what you're going to say? Something else in mind?
Who are you addressing, Leon? I'm not sure if it's me or somebody else.
No, you. Dennis, you had come in with something else, but I came in with that tournament, and then you said you had the information. So I don't know if that's the same thing.
That is the information I was going to bring in came in with it. So you segued right into the point,
okay.
You know, there are some good results, good matches played in the previous 3 days, although I don't have all the scores. But again, I think it's probably something we might be able to dig up before next Sunday's program.
Yeah, the Los Angeles 2028 Olympics is due to have cricket involved. And they're saying that T20 is the format that's going to be used in the Olympics instead of T10, which of the 107 teams that are involved, 107 teams in the ICC, they all wanted T10. But it came out that T20 is the format that is going to be used. Anyone has anything to say on that? I just gathered that.
I have said for a long time, Leon, that if the cricket is going to make its way back into Olympics, it would be the T10. And I've always said that, and I think that would be the right way. Less time, and I guess the IPL is so popular, and the Big Bash and the CPLs and stuff like that, that maybe that's why the Olympic, you know, Association, International Olympic Association want to use the T20 to get the excitement. But they have to take the length of the game into consideration. You know, a soccer match, although a soccer match can take much longer because sometimes injury time and stuff like that. So it will take 2 hours plus of long the break time, almost 3 hours. But if you're gonna play T20, it's gonna be 3 hours plus. You know, unless they're not gonna have reviews and stuff like that. So I think the way to go. That would be my personal preference. You know, and I've said that over the years.
The majority of teams have preferred the T10 too.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as if the ICC is saying that they wouldn't have enough time to run a tournament. But they will have enough time to run a T20 tournament. I don't know
what's the difference? I mean, you're going to cut it in half. And it's the same, mm-hmm. just a difference, you know, that you're going to have two over, you know, as they think, instead of four or six, whatever. But what's the difference? You know, you're going to agree to play a T20 or a T10. I mean, the T10 is much easier to organize, as I say, less time, less television time and so forth. Because a lot of sports will be competing for the television audience, you know. So
and you're right, it's 2028, you know.
I know.
6 years ago away, you know. You should have been able to draw up a tournament and bring all the 104 countries involved and do a tournament, but there must be something else other than that that I can meet the eye, so I just don't know. Why
and of course,
that?
You know, it won't be like West Indies team. It's going to be individual nation.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yes, that's right. So all like Antigua.
Yeah,
but
I will say it's getting complicated, okay?
So
in my opinion, they will go with at least 32 teams. You know?
Jetty,
mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Jetty,
yes.
The 813
yes.
is our guest? 813 is our guest?
No, we don't have
okay.
guests. Pick it up today.
Good.
But I can tell you the Olympic side, in my opinion, mm-hmm. if they go like a soccer, then they need at least 32 teams from different countries. That includes the associate
mm-hmm.
countries.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
West Indies may have to split up and put the team from Barbados, Ghana, Trinidad, Jamaica, like that. And then the way I look at it, if they have that many games, then they have to compete the soccer. Soccer is a 90-minute game plus overtime if needed. And that is what the T10 format comes into play. And if the ICC is sticking with the T20, then I will say the preliminary round, the initial tournament, supposed to be the T10. And when they have decided about four or eight last teams in a playoff, they can go for the T20 because Olympic is a global event. It has nothing to do with how the cricket is running all over the world. And the way I read, I will say we are hearing a lot of things from the cricket world. ICC is putting something on it. BCCI is talking, even the USA cricket talking, but we have not heard anything from the Olympic committee. The main people, and also
mm-hmm.
this Olympic 2028 will be in Los Angeles, so U.S. Olympic
yeah.
will be the huge factor in terms of the governance mm-hmm. and how they're going to organize and how they're going to use the grounds and all sort of things. So I will say we have a long way to go, but what we can expect is let include more countries, and everyone should have the opportunity to go for the title rather than this existing situation where ICC divide the country, like especially in associate, they have the three different divisions. And then all the time, we are watching those 8 or 10 front runners in almost every world event. So let's hope how the Olympic shapes up, I call it, and how they decide to go, which format. But let's hope they can include at least 32 or 40 front-leading teams.
Yes, indeed. Let's say hello to Jatna. Good evening to you, Jatna. before fans would like to hear your voice, say good, say hello to the panelists.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Good evening,
everybody. Yes, ma'am. Anything new to report from your neck of the woods?
No, same old. Just started training little kids how to play cricket. So that's what it's about. Nothing more.
Mr. McKenzie is a part of those children?
How to play cricket?
Anyway, thanks for coming on. I wish you well.
I have some news for Jocks, no?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I've just been reading that USA Cricket has announced an intra-regional hardball tournament, you know, as a pathway for women's cricket in the USA. You know, according to the announcement, inter-regional game will be a step towards women representatives, regional events as well as women's national championship. You know, Sindhu Srihashra, I don't know, Srihasha, you probably know of her, you know, in interview with Emerging Cricket has said that this provides a clear pathway to USA women's national team and provides much needed competitive games, you know, for us throughout the year. The National Women's Training Group recently wrapped up a training camp in Dallas, Texas, featuring 21 cricketers from around the country. Long-awaited return to cricket for many. So that's my news for Jochner, and I hope that can bring
us mind. That is true, actually. I forgot, slipped up from my mind. I'm sorry. Yeah, but you're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
All true.
Okay. Well, you know,
stay with us,
and we'll bring you in from time to time. Or if you wish to put your hands up and say, I need to jump right in, come right in. Just so nice to hear you, and regards to your family. Good.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we have completed that. Anyone have their viewpoint about the Olympics and the format? We miss Virgil because we can't get him in. It's too early for him. He's past his, it's before his bedtime, and he hasn't gotten home yet. All right. Well, we covered this.
Leon, I don't want to monopolize the time, but I can throw in my 2 cents worth on that Olympic.
Oh, you had something. I promised to bring you in with that article you have. Did you? Go ahead.
We can get back to that in a moment. But on the Olympic question, I certainly agree that, well, I prefer to see the T20 format rather than the T10. Remember, I'm not a great fan of these truncated games, but I certainly think the T10 is more of a joke to me than the T20. It's very easy to have knockout rounds so that the final round can be taken place right whenever it's due to take place, because they have enough grounds all over the United States. Grounds in Texas, ground in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles ground has the ability to feature, I think it's 4 games in progress at the same time. So if we're talking T20 and we start early, it's very likely that you could play at least 8 or 12 matches in a day at the Los Angeles complex. So if we were playing at various venues around the place, you know, Texas and LA, and I know there are other grounds in Florida as well, it could certainly be done at an interim level. So I think we should aim for the T20 format, and that would be just as popular, especially to cricket fans. That's my input on that.
But
one.
My point, though, that of
Leon, can I add something here?
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I can say Olympic is completely different world. Until now, and even the Japan Tokyo, the games, if you understand how the Olympic is run, is when they give it to the particular city or location, they build a huge hub and complex for almost every sport. They call it Olympic Village. Where normally almost every player stays. It does not matter what you are competing for.
what sports you're coming for. They got plenty of sports to compete in Olympic. So when it comes to the cricket, there is another difficult part. How you can accommodate all with the traditional format they have to stay at Olympic Village and playing in a nearby area, right? It's not about flying out and what they do in a World Cup. Like in England, they had all over places the games were played. Some of them are like at a distance from the final, if you look at the other way. So it's all about how many grounds you have in Los Angeles. They might go for to develop more cricket grounds around there. I do here keep the finger crossed. There is about 3 more grounds in LA area is in pipeline, I will say. One if in Irvine area, another they are targeting Anaheim area. So if that happens, then the Los Angeles itself is capable to run multiple games without going anywhere. I should say, Alam have some sort of regulation that the games need to be played in a certain distance from the Olympic Village. That sort of time, they have the tradition. So putting like different places like San Francisco or going to Phoenix or going to the Texas, is this too much for the Olympic? Olympic don't do that. They usually stick with the one location.
But then, if it all has to be played on turf wicket, they don't use nothing for those games. So
Develop the cricket ground. I will say you can cricket the ground. Nowadays, I can tell you one thing, the beauty. The turf drop-in wickets can be laid down in a matter of 4 weeks. So it's not something they need the ground which takes years or develop some time. Yes, they can put together on a farm, and when they are ready, they can just put the wickets in the middle of the grass field. You know, so it's not, Olympic spends lots of money. And I believe the Olympic is little bit excited to have the cricket back in because of the drop-in pitch situation. It's impossible to build the cricket grounds like we used to have it traditionally. We call it the stadiums, where the wickets lay down as a permanent and stays there for a longer time. Yes, Olympic does everything prepared for that particular event. We have seen it in Los Angeles. We have seen it in Atlanta. We have seen it in Salt Lake City. I have seen it in Denver. I have seen even Vancouver, how they have done it. But typically, if you look at it, when Olympic comes, it's a long-time preparation, well-planned preparation. It starts about 8-10 years ahead of that event. And by the time the event comes, they have a lots of facilities ready to go as per plan. And that is how they did in Russia. They're doing it in Tokyo right now. It's the same thing. And even they had a China Olympics. They build a lot of facilities, the new facility. And that is the huge advantage I believe cricket is looking at, because whatever the places they go, especially cricket will be only limited to the Summer Olympics. It's impossible to involve cricket in a Winter Olympics, you know. And because of that Summer Olympics, the beauty is they can develop any ground in a matter of couple of months with the late pitches or we can say portable pitches.
Yes, indeed. Anyone else want to say anything about that? I believe the T20 would definitely be the ideal, but the T10 could easily be recognized as a sport. But and then again, we have to consider when it comes to West Indies, all the countries have had to be playing separate. West Indies aren't going to be playing as a team, a united team. You're going to have Antigua, Barbados, and the works.
Well, you have regional knockouts until you get to a certain number, you know,
yeah,
maybe.
Like they do the World Cup football.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
So they can do that and get the lead in. They only have to have 32 teams.
Yeah,
I don't think they should be as many as 32. I think they should just
maybe
10 teams after all the preliminaries.
I would say about 24.
No,
24
sir.
Is a lot too oddly, you know, 24. And, you know, if they're going to play T20, 24 is quite a bit for the final stage, you know. There's a lot of teams.
Well, remember it's that the LA Grounds has the ability to host 1, 2, 3, 4 different matches at the same time. And if it's T20, you can get at least 2 matches going in a day. And so you could actually get 8 matches, I would estimate, in one day.
How long is the Olympics? How long? 2 weeks? It's about 2 weeks?
Well, it could be done in 2 weeks, surely. If you have 8, you know, you can tailor your number of teams based on the number of venues you're able to use to play the matches. And so that is something that could be expanded the next year if you have a larger, more venues available. But it can be done, I certainly think, with the soccer style qualification leading up to the number who will get to the final playoff rounds.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, but Mr. Leon, I was thinking,
yes.
Would it make sense to pad up all that just for 10 overs? I don't think that would make much sense.
Make a lot of sense, Simon. You need to come down here and watch when they have the U.S. Open T10. You know,
and
it's just as exciting. And you have teams making over 100 in the 10 overs, and you have some, you know, don't quite make it. And we have had playoff. I think we have had a super over in T10, where one team make 3 runs and the next one defended the 3 runs. You know, stuff like that. So yeah. In a super over, so you have excitement going on in the T10 format. You have players that are capable of doing that. Not everybody can, but you know. So you have excitement. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because some players they don't even get warmed up in 10 overs. They need not.
That's why I call it Joe Cricket, Simon.
Yeah. Maybe if they're as good as Dennis, they might be able to do it.
Gentlemen, we are following the exploits of our cricketers over in the UK.
Yeah.
And, of course, we just want to let you know that in Gloucestershire, we have Craig Bradwick. He's playing for that team. And
yes.
The latest match, he made 60-16.
Yeah.
And we have Azhari Joseph playing for North Worcestershire, and he made 61, he got 2 wickets in the first innings and none in the second innings.
Okay.
We have Miguel Cummins. He's playing for Kent. And he had 19 runs. I don't think he had any wickets, but I'm yet to be corrected on that. And I haven't seen anything about Roach, how his performance is. But the important thing is that we have some players exposed. And what are the thoughts of the panelists? You know, what benefits you think we can reap? I would think that Azhari Joseph followed up with his 46 last week and a couple of wickets, and this week he has 64. I think he batted 61. Something like 7 or 8. 61, that's right, 61, and followed up with a couple of wickets. So I just
Roach.
Want to hear this.
Roach plays for, I think it's Surrey, and His team, Middlesex, won by 10 wickets. He had 1 wicket for 53 runs in 25 overs. And he made 8 runs
said,
in the first.
He played for Middlesex, you said?
Sorry.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And he had 1 for 53 in 25 overs. And he scored 8 runs in the first innings. And then he was not out 0 in the second innings.
How long is their contract until the summer?
I think they got 7 match each. I don't know. I think Azhari got 7 matches.
Okay.
Well, because obviously they would have to be back to take part in the match against South Africa, which would have been in June, right?
Yes.
June, but the uncertainty of that is another thing. So,
yeah, in the second innings, Roach was able to on the ball 1.5 overs because it finishes at 18 without loss, and he bowled 1.5 overs, 13 runs no wicket.
And the match against Worcestershire match in the second innings, they had 2 I think the team, the opposing team, had some 209 without loss. And Azhari Joseph was in that match. He got 2 wickets in the first innings. What he got?
236. 236 without loss. No. Yeah.
236 without loss. Oh, my goodness. And the figures, so you have the figures for Azhari.
Hamid, the former opener of England, Hamid, he made 114 from 331. Mm. And B.S. Slater, he made 114 as well from 323 balls. So they were close by each other there. Slater hitting 11 fours and Hamid 14 fours.
Yeah,
strike rate was quite similar, 35.29 to 34.44. But they batted out and then they kicked, then they clear 236 without loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oddly, if the South Africa match doesn't come off against West Indies, can those West Indian players play the whole summer in England?
Well, they sign a contract. They're gonna play according to the contract that they signed. And one thing, Azhari Joseph, I think, was up for about maybe a 6 or 8 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be adjusted, because if there isn't going to be a good question, Simon, because if the South African tour doesn't come up, maybe, and they still need them, you know, depends on performance and so forth, maybe it can change the condition of the contract. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Oh, yes, indeed. But my question.
Yeah, thank you, Audley. Thank you for your answer.
Yes. Yes. The question I was going to ask: well, what is happening to the other players in the Caribbean? We're not having no cricket, and these guys in England are getting some practice, some exposure. Not many of our cricketers are in the IPL. You know, what are they doing? What are they doing right now? You can't just players just, they are doing nothing, and you know, we're hoping to have tours coming up. What are they doing? Anybody knows anything? Because I don't know if any cricket is being played.
Why don't they just play the territorial crickets like in Trinidad against Guyana, Leeward Islands against Barbados? They can play that for the summer.
So some of the islands are still on shutdown, Simon. That's what happened, you know.
That's what happened.
If you want to play,
with the volcano in St. Vincent again.
Right.
And the volcano, and Barbados have some ash. You know, that is another impediment. So I don't know what is going to be the answer, but I'm sure that when the time comes for us to play any team from abroad, it's going to be a bunch of rusty players, unless those players come back home.
What I think is going to happen, Leon, is just like the last, what they did to Sri Lanka, when we had the Sri Lanka tour, the Sri Lankans rather, touring, is that you're going to have, they'll just assemble in whether Barbados, Trinidad, or if they're going to do Antigua again. And those players would have to together for about a month, you know, they have to quarantine first and then have maybe a series of matches among themselves before they can take on any visiting side right now. Because as it is, some cricketers may be able to play some local matches. It can be arranged by the various clubs. But, of course, the standard is different. So when it comes to playing international cricket, they will have to. After picking the side, they'll have to do that early and have at least a month together. You're going to have 2 weeks quarantine and then use the other month to play among each other. You're going to do just like what all the other countries are doing. You're going to choose maybe about 30 players and then they play each other.
Leon, remember that the West Indies team spent, 3 or 4 months in England during 2020. Then they went off to Bangladesh, and then they came back from Bangladesh and went to the Sri Lanka series in the West Indies. So it's very likely that, you know, the selectors are looking at that and saying, well, you know, these guys have had a very tough, what, 9 months to a year. So giving them a 3 months layoff might not be a bad idea if the guys can keep themselves fit and ready to play. But, of course, you also remember when we discussed this final of the Sri Lanka thing, that was something I raised because England has been playing a lot of cricket and they will be playing cricket right through to going into the West Indies, and the West Indians weren't going to be playing. But at any rate, I think that's possibly because of this 9 months they've had between England, Bangladesh, and, of course, the Sri Lanka series recently completed. I suspect that's what they're looking at. Back to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what I was thinking was, you know, you remember these men, this is a livelihood for them. It's not like in my father's day when they play cricket for 3 months and go home and cut sugar cane. You know, this is a living for them, you know. So I was thinking about their pockets.
You see, it's not only their pocket. The West Indies have to fork out money to host these tournaments, too.
And they're getting some of the countries like, again.
Exactly.
And then
just like Audley said, most of these countries are not fully open yet. Yeah, Antigua was lucky we didn't hear much hiccup with the Sri Lankan tour. Because we played at one place. But I guess that has, you know, affected the way the pitches were prepared. They're under, perhaps not prepared enough to, they can get a very more lively wicket to produce a result. So, you know, that is a lot of setback, of course. Just want to remind our fans that next week we are hoping to hear from the president of the West Indies Cricket Board, Mr. Ricky Skerritt, and he promised me sincerely that he'll be with us from 7 to 7:45. So what I am urging you folks to put your question together. He says he will talk about anything, of course. We're not going to hit anything controversial or call any names per se, but we'll ask them questions directly. So we just want the folks to be aware that when he comes on next week, we'll have our questions prepared for him. And we'll be grateful for his presence here with us. Jatin, any questions that you have in mind that you want to put out to the panel? Or how about Mr. McKenzie? Is he still with us?
Yes, I'm still here. Listen to
anything
all you
on your mind?
Good guys.
Anything on your mind?
I just want to mention the passing of Colin McDonald, the Australian opening batsman at 92. Mm. I don't know if you mentioned that. And I am looking at the amount of West Indians. I think you mentioned it. In the English county cricket again, which can only argue very well for West Indies cricket, because those guys in the playing in county cricket should be able to garner a lot of information, knowledge about the game, techniques about the game, and so forth. And this should make them a better player if they open their mind to it.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
McKenzie.
Yes.
Mr. McKenzie, sorry, Leandro. Yeah, you remember about the Australian opener that died in the 90s and the Australian. And I'm going to tell Lydia McKenzie, who has a birthday on the 29th of this month, that you say any other McKenzie we talk about is bogus. You forgot about Lydia? You forgot about Lydia? Is she bogus?
You're doing me very well. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I was just reminded, folks, that Antigua has four young cricketers that are going up to play league cricket,
yes.
Or going to clubs.
Yes.
I don't know if the other teams are doing similar, you know, so get some youth going up. I think Barbados has a regular thing. They have players going up to England. But they don't
Playing league cricket, yeah.
Playing league cricket. You know, like if we were to get on to Wildon Cornwall, he will tell you all about that because he spent a lot of time. He did spend a lot of time playing league cricket in England as well. And
it's a good thing in replacing
our tournaments here. But I think with the fact of the earthquake, the volcano, and the COVID. that is a setback for West Indies cricket. Playing West Indies cricket.
Leon, I'm very, very, very boosted to hear the announcement you've made about the league cricket, because I remember back in the 60s that was quite popular among West Indians. If we remember,
yes.
Collis King was one of those who, and
yep,
I think it was Bernard Julian too, I believe, also were part of that club cricket circuit before they made the West Indies team. And, you know, they performed admirably once they reached the West Indies team. So I'm very, very happy, and I've always been asking these questions about whether or not this was something, an avenue for West Indian cricket that was still open to us. So I'm delighted to hear you give that information today that, you know, we do have that open.
One guy that was in the league cricket as well, after he finishes his West Indian career, was Roy Gilchrist. And he took a number of hat-tricks in the league cricket. Quite a few, more than 20 of hat-tricks in league cricket.
Yes, next week. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Jatin, you're still with us? Jatin? Jatin has gone. He's mute.
I'm here.
Jatin, can you do us a favor next week? Can you bring us your all-time India team again to us? All-time India team.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. And Mr. Heat? Can you give us your all-time Jamaica team? And Audley?
Are we? Yeah.
Audley, can you give us your all-time England team, Audley?
All right. Can you clarify
that for me? Are we saying we want the best 11 from?
In your view, if you were selectors, whom would you pick as your all-time team?
Got it.
You know, given, saying all the players were at a given age, you say, well, our guy here would be the same age as Chris Gayle. Let's say Chris Gayle is the same age as Lawrence Rowe. Right? We just imagine they were at that age. You're going to pick a team from Jamaica, we think is the best ever team. Okay?
From Jamaica or from the West Indies?
No, from Jamaica.
Jamaica.
I'm going to do from the West Indies.
Okay.
I'm going to do from the West Indies.
Okay, from Jamaica. Yeah.
Simon, would you want to do a team from the Leeward Islands?
Well, you know, I went to England quite young. I don't remember their players. But they used to have a fast bowler that came out of Antigua. He used to wreck the Montserrat team. A fellow called, I'll tell you in a minute, I'll tell you. And they had a batsman from Nevis called McMahon. Was a batsman from Nevis when I was a kid growing up. My father always talked about McMahon. Mm. If what's his name was on today, he would tell us more about that. I'll see about him. And they had a fast bowler in Antigua, used to record here called Antanason. You ever heard that name? My father always talked about him.
Antanason's nickname? Tinin.
Okay.
T-I-N-N-I-N-G.
Okay.
I would just segue a little bit to just offer my sympathy to the national hero. The bird has...
Oh, yes. Yes, I heard about
it. He has lost a part of his body. Part of his foot was cut off because of his having diabetes. And we just want to offer our sympathy to him. You know, what pain and suffering and, you know, never know grief might... He was a tremendous athlete. And talking about McMahon, there was a time that Lester Bird hit him on the helmet and not the helmet, but hit him, knock him down.
Yeah.
And I could remember Leo Gore explaining to us how Lester Bird was crying. Yeah. He said, Skip, you let me do that, you know. Skip, you let me do that, you know. But he was a tremendous athlete, a long jumper of no mean repute. He used to compete with the likes
and
of
And of course,
of,
he's such a giant. I mean, physically, physical stature.
Yeah. And he could bowl as fast as West Hall in his day. But just like in those days, West India's players were selected not past Barbados.
Not from the smaller islands.
From the smaller islands, indeed. So
and that's a fact.
I just want to just sympathize with him and his loss. He became the Prime Minister of Antigua. And you know something, gentlemen? He was born in the United States.
Okay.
Do you know that?
You know, Mr. President, let me break away just a little bit. I don't know if you covered this before. I was looking at the news earlier, and I want to send out sympathy to the Indian people who are losing so many people to the COVID.
Oh, yes.
Especially to our Mr. Patel and the other young lady in Tampa. I want to say how sorry I am to hear how that has been devastating the Indian population. They say about 340,000 a day infected with COVID. I'm very sorry to hear, and I just want to pass my sympathy on to our two listeners.
And on that note, before we go, I'm going to bring in Jasna and talk about that, but I'm going to be starting a fundraiser for the people of St. Vincent. And I don't know if anybody from the panel would like to send anything and join with me so we can send a package.
I will join with you.
Whatever you send to me, I will just combine it and put it with what I have. And anybody else who wants to join in with me, and I will just, on behalf of the cricket show. So I have...
That's a good part.
So that's it. And but not to take away from Simon's point of view, we're going to see if Justin will want to make any points on the situation over in India as a result of COVID. Justin, any thoughts about what we...
It's very, very sad. A lot of people are getting COVID-19 over there and dying, and they don't even have... just like what was going on in North earlier, New Jersey, to bury all the bodies. They're going the same situation in India. They're like taking a token to, you know, cremate them one by one. It's very sad. All we can do is just pray.
Do you have any family that were...
My husband's side of the family is there, and my mother is there in Gujarat, but she's in a safe place, so we're just talking to her every other day, making sure she's all right. But she cannot travel back here yet, so she should be coming back hopefully, in May probably,
Yes, I'm very sorry, Jatin. I saw the news this afternoon. I was very, very moved, you know. I'm very sorry about it, and it's devastating the country. And also, Mr. Patel, I'm so sorry to hear about the devastation of the COVID in India. And we are praying for the people there, and I just want to pass it on to you and Mr. Patel that we are very, very sorry to hear, and we are all with you.
Well, there is a thank you for that comment, Simon, but I will say you don't need to say sorry. This thing is like a complete disaster. Does not matter what part of the world we look at it. What India is going through is a very similar situation like we had in New York last year.
Right.
It's unfortunate that India does not have that many facilities to accommodate this many new patients. So they are overcrowded. A lot of hospitals don't have a room. That's a big issue. And they are short of oxygen because of this massive patient flow coming in every day. They don't have enough things. Just like as I said, we had an initial situation with the ventilators and oxygen. That is what exactly India is going through. The one worst part is definitely hurting to me. When I say we have 29 million Patels still in India, I will say, out of 43, right? We got plenty of Patel outside. And definitely we are in the ring. We also started fundraising about 2 weeks back. We are not openly reaching out.
but we have enough community people passing these messages so we can feed the families back home and provide the life living necessities, especially drinks, food, water. All these things is because the government is clamping down on lockdown, okay? But I will say the biggest disappointment, what I'm feeling right now, is my religion. Because in my religion, we don't just bury the body under the ground. We set it on fire, and the remaining need to be going flowing river, that situation. And it's hurting religious-wise because we don't have, we call it the fundal home-type facilities over there. And now, I can tell you, where I'm coming from, it was used to be a very small town, and we only had a two spot where you can burn the body. With this massive influx, we call it, a lot of dead bodies in a day, it's very hard to accommodate those religious and virtual procedures. And that is what its biggest thing is hurting right now. And we can't even blame on a government. This disaster was, I will say, pre-planned. It's a blueprint. When you have overpopulation in a crowded cities, you can expect this. It's all about, rather than bringing everybody in this situation, they have to follow the safety rules, stick with the procedures which the government is asking you to do, and the biggest thing, believe in God and stay safe. People are not following the simple rules, and that is the trouble going on in India.
Okay.
Well, we noticed that Ashwin has pulled out of the IPL because of the situation. He wants to go back to his family. So I just hope and pray.
That is a huge concern. I had a big webinar this morning, and we were talking this thing, and I suggested as a coach, we had almost 300-plus attendance, and I clearly told them at the moment, the most important thing you want to do in your life is save your life. And the second thing you want to do is stay with your family and protect the family. If we survive through this panic time, we have many years to come where we can either catch up or follow or enjoy a lot of things. There's nothing important where we need to run around outside the house and being unsafe. And not just Ashwin, I'm expecting another few dropouts within this week because in India, these numbers are going up every day. And even these state players are in the bubble. They have the back home families. They're concerned about it. And I will say Ashwin has not made the wrong decision. That is the perfect decision. Stay away from everything. Be yourself safe and stay with your family and protect everyone.
Leon, confirmation here. You suggested that you would receive funds that you would pass on for the St. Vincent, but people sending funds, who should they make, for example, a check out to in order for the St. Vincent fund?
I would say if you make it out to me, I will make sure that I give a account for it and I will send it on. So
okay.
I hope you trust me that much to do that.
Well, I personally do, yes, so that wasn't why I was asking.
I have no problem with that, Leon. I have no problem with that, Leon.
Yeah, because that's the way I'm going to just make one check, and I just send out and say compliment of the cricket show. And if indeed that we have the need to send anything to India too, we also do that. Because, you know, India, despite they having lost so many people, they have still contributed vaccine to Antigua. I don't know about the other countries, but they have sent vaccine to Antigua. And so you got to be grateful for that as well. And, you know, you never know what we can do. But
well, a point of clarification on that, Leon. India has a very well-developed technology area, and they manufacture vaccines for some of the biggest vaccine makers in the in Europe and the United States. So they are able to manufacture the vaccine for these people, but they have an agreement with the companies that they will keep X amount for themselves. And of course, from there, they can probably send out vaccines to other people they consider in need. So that's the clarification there.
Well, I can add to that. Vaccine is not a shortage in India. They have enough. The problem is, I will say 40% of the people even today not willing to take vaccine. That's one big issue.
Number two,
right now the situation is getting worse because they don't have enough space, all those patients in the hospitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third worst part is basically blame the people. They are not following simple rules. They are going out in the markets and everywhere without masks. What do you expect, you know? So it is not something somebody can point finger on government in India like, hey, when they had a vaccine, they distributed to Canada, some Caribbean countries, some European countries. No, they did their job because at that time when they are trying to distribute worldwide, they had overstock of vaccine because that's a huge population and they have a huge production from multiple companies. So it's not a vaccine shortage even at the moment. But again, it's a majority of the job. People have to do it. Like we are doing in the U.S. since this lockdown started in New York. And when we started following CDC, even on our radio show, I will say we have repeated this thing every week. Hey, be safe. Stay home. Put your mask on. Keep the distancing, right? So these are the things they need to follow, and they are not following. I see some news clips from India, and I can see the people without masks. They are still running openly. So how you can protect everybody? It's a huge population.
Mm-hmm.
Life is like that. You know, it's a pity we have to end on this note. But anything else anybody wants to clear up before we say goodbye? Sorry that we could not hear from Virgin. Go ahead.
This is not a matter of clearing up, but we're talking about all-time teams and it just happened that I have a team by...
Anyone else want to volunteer?
It happened that I have a team here. I have an all-time team here by Graham Gooch. It's all-time 11 when it comes to Test cricket. And that's Barry Richards at number one, Jeff Bark at number two, Sir Viv at number three, Tendulkar number four, Alan Border at five, Suryan Wotam at six, Alan Nutt, wicketkeeper, Shane Warne at eight, Wasim Akram, Malcolm Marshall, and Dennis Lilly. That's his all-time 11. All-time 11 of Graham Gooch, former captain.
Did he call Angus?
Of England.
Did he call Angus?
No. Just two West Indian, Malcolm Marshall and Sir Viv.
And I
didn't hear you. You talk about a man they call Len Hutton.
No.
You didn't talk about Len Hutton.
Hold on, Simon. What are you saying, Leanne?
Sir Gary?
No, not in it. Let me call it again. Barry Richard, Jeff Boycott, Sir Viv, Tendulkar, Alan Border, Ian Botham, Alan Nutt, Shane Warne, Wasim Akram, Malcolm Marshall, Dennis Lilly. And don't forget, that's his all-time 11. Okay.
Whose all-time 11 is that?
Graham Gooch, former captain of England.
Okay, well. Yeah.
So you know, it started to tilt with our English men because I wouldn't have Boycott in my all time team, but he has Boycott. Alan Nutt was good, but I would not have Alan Nutt.
I agree with you there, and I wouldn't have both of them either.
I would not have both of them.
That's more than one selector. We had to do it early. Folks, so we had to do it before we get Mr. Skerritt.
Yeah. But you know how it is selecting these teams. If you have two persons selecting, you're going to have rough. You're not going to select the same 11. Yeah.
I can do the leewards too. I will do the leewards and the West Indies.
Okay.
And Simon, what would you do? I don't know. Either of them would not able to be on. I don't know who else will be on. But who else is on? And they wanted to come in and name their team. But we are coming close to the end of the show, and let's ask each member to say their quick piece. I might have to ask one person to do it. But let's hear from Jetsna. Kind of guys like to hear from Jetsna to say goodbye. She has a special way to tell the guys goodbye. Good night to you, Jetsna. say your
good night.
Your final
good
words.
Night, everybody. Yes, good night, everybody. Okay. Be safe.
Have a great week, Sandy. Have a great week.
Good night to you and be safe, your family.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
See you on the radio next Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You mean so much to us every time you come on, Judgment. So have a blessed week. Mr. McKenzie, your thing, your final words. McKenzie?
You say goodbye already.
Your final words?
Yeah. He's gone to bed already.
Your final words?
No, he's gone to finish his cooking.
I thought he was going to bed.
Jetin, coming on with time. Jetin, your final minute. How about you, Mr. Dennis?
Good luck, everybody. Stay safe and enjoy the week.
Indeed.
You'll get back next week.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Dennis?
Yes, I would like to say, well, good night and good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may be. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to having you join us again for our next show next week.
Simon, your final words, my brother.
I thank you, Mr. President. I must say you do such a wonderful job every night, keeping the panel together, keeping it flowing smoothly.
All because of people like you.
And I want everyone to have a wonderful week this week. And everybody be safe, and we'll be back here next week, God's willing, on the cricket show. Such a wonderful opportunity to get together, talk about cricket, and learn so much from each other. I've learned so much from you. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Have a wonderful week all, and we'll talk next week on the radio, as Mr. McKenzie would say. Have a good night. Good night, all.
Good night. And Audley, it's time for you to say good night to all your fans around the world.
Yeah, well, just good night. Have a wonderful week. Make sure, be careful whenever you go out. Remember that even if you have had the vaccine, both vaccines like me, or whether you have the Johnson & Johnson, just the one, remember when you go out, you still just continue with a safe distance. As they call it, social distancing, and wear your mask and so forth, because you never know. So just be careful. All right, just before we go, let me give you a word here. It says, action may not always bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action. Of course, if you're happy, it's going to show. Action can bring, it's going to bring, action may not always bring happiness, but there is no happiness without action. So walk good, stay good, God willing, next week.
Yes.
We'll talk again.
And there's definitely a place for people like you folks. You made my day, my night, and I'm sure we might have been able to make days for our listeners around the world. Thank you all. Because of folks like you, we are able to bring this show each and every week. And we are grateful for all the ones who have participated. God bless you all until we meet again next week. And those of you who have the time to get over to the Saturday, on Saturday we have the Cricket Show's entertainment show on Saturday morning. We hope that you may be able to join us, or if you prefer to join us on Tuesdays when we bring the Andrew Mason guest. That we really indeed. So good night. God bless. And we are having a nice time. And it's from the Troubadours.
Well, this is a nice one from the Doors. Yes, the Troubadours. So we want all the people them to come out just to have a nice time. A nice time, that's all. No trouble. No rise and thing. No one not showing up. No one nobody looking on nobody else, you know. No line going. So watch me now. It's deep in the place, it's action running wild.
Jimmy Sunday.